It's that time again. Yeah. Ya la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención. Class is in session. Tune in for an hour, maybe more. That's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause them churches never teaching shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit. Yeah, that means you take a loss if you stray from the way. You get an understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it say what it say. Ya viene el tiempo, entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento, la Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento, no te pierdas en doctrina como viento, estudia y ora y aplica, tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita, escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos, israelita, oye cómo explica, Israel unido en Cristo para la vida, nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour, learn your family history, don't be a coward, yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Yeah, history to learn, it's the power hour. The 11 hours. Tune in to your history, you know it in your history. Power hour. The 11 hours. You know where you're history, 11 hours. Power Hour.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus. I am Deacon Yahshua.
Officer Ishail.
Officer Tobias.
And we are back.
We are back.
After 2 years and a half.
Wow.
It feels like it. It's been a long time, bro. It's like the whole month.
What do we have? We had one day, like, we were uncertain until, like, the 11th hour.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, just...
The first shall be last. The last shall be first.
And it was supposed to be back last week. And
it was like the whole month.
Oh, now I'm hearing there's no sound.
Hey, what's going on?
Womp, womp, womp.
Everybody's all... All
right, let us know when there's sound, folks.
Oh, your sound. It should be good.
People are saying no sound. Can y'all hear us? Can y'all hear us?
We good?
Everybody else hear us? Sound is back. Sound is back.
There we go.
He probably did something. He's trying to pretend like sound was always there. He went and like touched something. No, this sound.
Right.
Let me find out.
No, this.
This is not Atlanta. We are.
Oh wow! Here. Now Atlanta's been on point. You mean New York?
Oh,
you mean New York?
Shots,
well,
bro.
New York was good the past couple Sabbaths.
You taking
they
shots,
did,
bro?
They did what they had to do. So you were saying we were gone, we were off the air for 2 years?
We were off air for 2 years, now we're back. The whole month of December we were off. Hey, all praise to Most High, shout out to Officer, dang, I got a brain fart. Help me out.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Austin. See,
Officer Jalez.
Officer Jalez.
Thank you, yes. Officer Jalez. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for holding it down.
Hey, shout out to Officer Jalez.
I pray you're feeling better. I know he was under the weather. His throat was jacked up.
I think he taught a class the other day, though.
Yeah.
Recently, yeah.
All praise to Most High.
So maybe he got better right the next day, then.
Maybe. Push through it.
Push through it.
Power through it, yeah.
Should have powered through for the power hour.
Yeah.
Give me that thanks back.
Dang.
I was there teaching a class after being messed up. Goodness gracious.
I'm so, like, rusty right now that I even have the headphones on backwards. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, man. I feel sluggish, man. I feel like I'm out of practice.
Yeah.
What was it, like 6 weeks that I wasn't hosting?
It was four.
No.
Five, maybe.
Really?
Maybe
what was
not,
the last, what was the last show five. I did?
I'm going to tell you right
the
now.
The last one was the Zionism. But we're talking about when? That was about a month ago. Maybe about
four.
Yeah,
I thought it was a little.
Maybe five.
Selena says, I'm new and my CERN turned me into learning who we are much more. All praises to the Most High. Welcome to the show, Selena.
All
praises. That's great. Yeah, man, I'm feeling pretty tired today. I'm feeling kind of, I don't know.
It's the power.
I don't know. I don't feel like I got power today.
Come on.
But I didn't want to keep missing. I don't want to keep missing.
The Lord will get the spirit to quicken, right?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I don't know. It depends. Are you guys just going to be all quiet there?
Nah, I'm ready. What
yeah.
we doing? Yeah.
Yeah. I was tempted to talk about the other stuff that I was posting. Stuff
I was
about.
Ready for that, too.
Yeah,
bro.
that might have hyped me a little bit.
Then let's
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Nah, but, bro, people be getting on us because we never finish a topic, bro.
This True. Is a power hour. We're
I
never
going
to finish. It's going to be like, yo, you were here. Watch the replay.
Yeah.
You were here. You were with the hype. You were with
yeah.
the power. You were in it. And if you didn't, well, you missed it.
Yeah. See, somebody said I didn't look. I look tired. Yeah, man, I feel pretty tired. I don't feel like run down. I hope I'm not getting sick. I don't feel like run down, but I do feel tired.
The last time we broadcasted was November 30th. That was us.
Yeah.
That was us.
That was us, bro. So, and what's today?
Today is
it's like mid January.
5 weeks.
5-6 weeks.
Because we're at the 11th. The 11th.
It was 5 or 6 weeks.
Let's see, November 30th.
You know what? I was laughing when he asked for 6 waters. And I didn't realize, like, why do we need 6 waters for it? It is little.
Mini.
It's the water fetus.
The mini.
That's right. No.
Look, and I'm going to put this up there, and somebody's going to say, no, don't drink purified water. Mm-hmm. Oh, you water zealots. Don't drink purified water. You know what? I do prefer spring water.
Oh, gosh.
I do. I do prefer water, but...
Me too. I'm looking at this comment.
I don't know why we have Walmart.
I just can't stand Arrowhead.
Yeah, I can't stand Arrowhead either.
Yeah, that's nasty. Mm-mm. That's Arkansas'
like
favorite.
Dirt.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's going to be a long time. Someone said Northern King needs a bishop. Hey, y'all just got a deacon. Slow it down. Slow it down. Oh, man. Yeah, that's a weighty responsibility. Yeah. That's a lifetime of work, all right? That's a lifetime of work and dedication. I mean, so is the deaconship, but gosh. Yeah, spring water is good. I'm trying to see, like, you know, so there's so much going on. We were talking about when we come back, different topics we want to go over.
Mm-hmm.
So I never finished the Aztecs. Remember we were doing the Israelite civilization?
Just like we never finished social engineering.
Yeah.
Just like we never finished the man up, the hard times
right.
crate.
No, but we got to get back. We're going to get back to that.
I'm just saying.
There's a whole book that we got to do for that. But you see what I'm saying? That's why we have to finish. So this is why today we're going to finish. We're going to finish the dealing with the synagogue of Satan.
The follow through.
Yeah, you know.
Nail in the coffin.
Whatever we get through today, that's what we get through. That's it. It's a wrap. We're not gonna keep going. You know.
I'm sorry.
We're not gonna keep going. We gotta move on. So we have that. We have the Aztec thing to go back to. We haven't finished that. We have some good stuff that we had to unpublish that we might have to. He probably didn't even catalog any of that stuff. That would be nice to go back to for certain ideas,
mm-hmm.
like the Mexican lynchings. That would be a good one. We went over Mexican, and I forgot the guy's name. That like he was jacking up Esau, like they couldn't catch him, so they like vexed him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's not Pancho Villa. Everybody's
no,
like Pancho Villa.
No,
but I know somebody might say it. Yeah, somebody might say it's Pancho Villa. And there's a lot. There's a lot of topics that we have that we could go back to. Definitely, that social engineering is a good one to run back because a lot of that we did when we were doing the Saturday slot, and there wasn't that much visibility.
Right.
So now that we have the midweek slot, you know, show's gotten a little more popular, more eyes on it. It'd be good to kind of go back to some of those topics I was thinking. I know we did the Manifest Destiny and going into the West and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have the Hard Times, Create Strong Men.
Right.
And we were reading the book and reviewing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a good, like, I think that what I want to maybe go, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do Aztecs next week. I'll probably run that back, like just switch it up.
We got to do the videos.
Because, you know, there's people like drama. I feel like when we're doing history, like there's a certain segment that likes it and it's good.
Right.
But then, like, when we throw in, like, some drama.
Oh, I guess everyone's attention.
Everybody's like, oh, wow. You know, we get, like, all types of crazy views and stuff like that. So,
right.
Y'all better, I'm going to tell you this right now. Be ready. Set your alarms. Set the reminders. Click the notification bell on IUIC Phoenix next week. It's about to go down. The stuff that Deacon was sharing with us today. I was trying to convince him. I'm going to tell you right now. I was trying to convince him. Let's go the hell with the Amalek and I think we already covered that. He's like, no,
but I
got to
finish because we don't finish.
No, but I'm letting the people know.
Yeah.
You're going to want to tune in. It's going to be good.
Well,
it's going to
so this is what I'm saying.
It's going to
fall under kind of that hard time, strong men type of attitude.
Yes.
Because we got to put that out there. And it's also going to fall under kind of the proving thing that I'm trying to get my hands around.
Because those videos are a result of weakness.
People been asking about, you're right. People have been asking me about the proving class, not just here. Like, people are like, yo, when are you going to do that proving class? Mm-hmm. They wanted the Hosea breakdown. There's so much stuff.
Bro, the Hosea.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, he gave you a sneak peek right now about next week. Tune in.
No, so what we're going to do, alarm. what I want to do, if we can remember when the show is done.
Today?
Yeah. Show that clip where she at the wedding.
Oh goodness. Mm-mm. Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh.
Show that clip, and then that'll line up the preview. For next week.
Put the fear of God
Amen.
Back in.
Sir, we got you.
It was a link.
Let's have that
go
ready.
Down.
Let's have
go
that
down,
ready.
Go down.
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet, but just so you can have
right,
it ready.
Right, right.
That one right there.
Yeah, and there's more. Like, there's a whole bunch, so I'm just going to start throwing them up. But, yeah, have that ready, and that'll be the preview for next week.
Nope.
This is going to be mad, but they could be mad.
That's fine. It's gonna, like I said, it's going to ruffle some feathers.
Damn. Now that I see that other video you got up.
Come on, bro.
Oh,
half and
my
half.
Goodness.
Half and half.
Yeah, but you half got you half. Can't you can't let me lose the threads though. Like, I could put one down.
You want to pin them?
But I got to be able to pick it back up.
Right.
So, because I will say it'd be nice for us to maybe start with the video that
right.
we just saw. No, not that, but the one where it says the white race is invented, because I forgot about that. I have, like I was mentioning, I have the cliff notes of this guy's book, so I don't have to read the whole damn book.
Mm.
And I have the cliff notes of this guy's book that goes into that, and it kind of goes with what we've been talking about. So that might be a good thread to pick up again later. But like I said, we call this nail in the coffin, so that's it. But next week, it'll get drama-based. Sisters is going to be mad next week.
Yep.
But you know what? If you in the spirit, then you realize that that's not you, that that's not how you rolling.
You're
right.
A new creature in Christ.
So the hit dog holler.
Right. Well, you might be a new creature in Christ, but, you know.
Things,
There's no vaginal rejuvenation. I know they do that medically, cosmetically.
Oh, snap.
All right. Your spirit may be new in Christ, but there is no vaginal rejuvenation.
Emotional damage.
Well, it is.
Unless you go to a surgeon and pay for it. There is no vaginal rejuvenation. So some sisters' feelings is going to be hurt. But that's all right. Where's that scripture? Is it in Romans where it talks about the things that you were ashamed?
Yeah, Romans 8.
Is it Romans 8?
Yeah.
That were the ways of death?
Yes, sir. Actually, it's 6.
It's 6. It is 6. It's Romans 6. You're right. You're right on.
It's verse 21. You want it?
Yeah. Read verse 20.
The book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness.
Right, because what's that mean? When this was before Christ, right, before the proper understanding, you were free from righteousness. Mm-hmm. Meaning, because righteousness is a yoke.
Right.
Right? It's the yoke of Christ that we follow after, right?
Mm-hmm.
It calls us prisoners of hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're bound. We're in bondage to Christ. Christ is the bridegroom, we're the bride,
right?
Right. And when you were in sin, right, you were free from righteousness. Ignorance is bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind did not realize all that type of behavior was sin. Or some of you, if you didn't think it was sin, at least knew it was off, and you
right.
were rolling in a very self-serving type of attitude. What were you going to say?
Can I give an example of that?
Go ahead.
Real quick. At work today.
So I'm giving the preview the beginning, and then we'll give the preview at the end, I guess. Right?
There's a Judah brother at work. And he mm-hmm. saw me reading my Bible in my cab on the crane. And he was like, hey, you read the word, this and that. Long story short, he said, let's pray together in the morning. I said, we'll see.
Who is this?
Judah. And he's in the world. So in this morning, he comes, signs like my safety stuff. And then he grabs my shoulder and starts saying, in the name of Jesus, family and friends, and start praying. And I was like, hey, bro, you really need to stop smoking, bro. So he's like, oh,
no.
That's just a habit. I'm like, yeah.
So he smokes weed or just smokes in
cigarettes.
General? Yeah, that's just a habit.
You know, people got habits. So it reminded me of him.
Yeah, you know what? That goes under the men class too. The vices that we have.
Right.
Right.
To try to cope.
And you got
to
be able to conquer those vices, mm-hmm. right? You got to like obliterate them. You got to go to war against those vices that we have, mm-hmm. right? Because behind those vices shows a lack of discipline. It shows weakness. I'll give you a vice that a lot of our brothers have, and I'm gonna relate to it. All right, and then we'll circle back. I guess you can use some of this footage as preview for next week. Then
let's go.
If you want to really hype it up,
the setup.
All right. Playing video games can be a vice.
Oh, good.
Mm. Now, I'll say this. I was laughing one time when Bishop Kanai gave a class. He was like, you're a grown man, you play video games. Like, you know, he was getting on brothers. And I'm like, damn, I'm 45 and I play video games. Mm-hmm. But it's a different generation, right, than like what they came up with, right? That wasn't really part of their thing,
right?
I kind of – and even I didn't really say – I mean, I guess we had Atari and ColecoVision and stuff like that. But I mean, I didn't have any of that until, like, I used to go to friends' houses to play. We couldn't afford that. Until I did get a PlayStation one time. Mm. Actually, you know, man, I got a Sega Genesis one time. They burglarized our apartment. They took the Sega Genesis. I think I played it one time, man.
The Sega's
They took my
sad.
Mom's jewelry. They took the Sega Genesis.
Mm. Hey, D, can I back you up on something real quick?
Wait. Don't let me lose my thought.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Bishop, y'all was in the house. Shalom, Bishop. We'll try to cross those. Don't let me lose my thought. A vice is... becomes detrimental to you doing manly things.
Right.
For you being able to move in the spirit like a man, to grow up into the fullness and stature of Christ. I'll say this. I'm not saying you got to put the video games away because I play them. But what do I tell you guys all the time? Be like, man, I haven't picked up them sticks in like 8 months.
Right.
Because I'm just too busy.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I do get to sit down and do it, I feel too tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather just kind of relax or do something else or whatever it is. But occasionally I do play. I still game. It's no longer a vice for me. Once upon a time it was, up to 3, 4, 5 in the morning. But if you're getting your car repossessed because all you do is play video games.
That's a vice.
That's you're an idiot, first of all.
Right.
You're simple as hell. All right. And that's a vice, right? Alcohol is a vice
mm-hmm.
for some brothers. If you don't know how to act, your body don't know how to move. You don't know when that limit is between mirth and getting spirits on you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's a vice. Some brothers are addicted to pornography. That's going to fall under that man, the hard times. I'm going to show you that's a weak man. There's a term that they use called incels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll dive into that at some point. It's not going to be next week. We'll dive into that at some point. But that's a vice. All right. When that becomes like your power, right? And that's what happens with vice. So you got to be able to conquer those vices. You got to crush those things. And I'm talking about brothers who are in the midst of their repentance, because you may be in the midst of applying these commandments. And at certain points, it could be years in your repentance, but you've yet to really put those things away.
Right.
And that's hindering your growth. It's hindering your usefulness to the Most High. It's hindering your usefulness to the nation. And we're going to talk about that. But we got to start with the woman, and next week we're going to talk about the woman. But remember, so let me run it back, and don't lose your thoughts, soldier. I'll let you come back in on this. All right, read the scripture again. See, Ashai is starting stuff, making me take the show somewhere.
I mean, I'm just saying, it's the spirit.
Ashai making me take the show.
I try to convince you before the show.
The show somewhere else. I wasn't ready, bro. I was feeling tired, so I didn't know if my brain was going to flow right.
Are you ready?
I didn't know if the brain was going to flow right.
It's the same here. I was just trying
to... So we were talking about you're a new creature in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. That's why, because I said, Sister's feelings is going to get hurt next week. Some brothers too, but Sister's feelings is going to get hurt next week because we got a week to put all this information up, all
right?
So I expect to see on our page this week a lot of activity with videos and clips and stuff, all right? And brothers who get offended too, but we got to get in on these sisters, right? We got to get in on these sisters, right? Think about it. From the beginning, sin comes through the woman, right?
Right.
So we got to realize that. It's not saying that men aren't sinful, but we got to put that on. Because here's the overall thing that I want to say, and I'm going to go back to the scripture. Then I'm going to let Soldier bring his point out. As we grow as a body, as we have, as the Most High continues to bless us because we're applying these laws and he's bringing the increase, all right? Invariably, let me run back. See, I wasn't ready. I got to get my thoughts together. I wasn't ready. I've said this before. and I'll say it again. Nothing really should surprise you as far as sinful behavior in Israel.
Mm-mm.
It should vex you, right, when you're righteous, right? It should make you sigh and cry when you see it, mm-hmm. once you get to a point of where the Holy Spirit has entered you, right? Mm-hmm. And this is why what Paul's saying here when we read this, when he says, read verse 20 again.
The book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 20.
Uh-huh.
For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness.
Right, and if you're free from righteousness, you're free from the guilt that comes with it. Mm-hmm. You're free from any type of accountability that comes with it. You have no remorse. There is no godly sorrow because you don't know what's godly, mm-hmm. right? So when you come into Israel, you have to realize when you read all these laws, statutes, and commandments, and I'll give you something that might be a trigger for most people. The laws on sexual relations. People will be like, but damn, why do I even need to be written? You would think that that's common sense. Why do I even need to be written? This, don't sleep. You know what I'm saying? You
right.
would think like, you know, don't be laying down with animals and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
No
running red lights.
Right. No running red lights. No threesomes, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you would read those things. You would think that that would be common sense. But when you read some of the laws, you're like, damn, why God had to tell us that? Because we've either have done it or we're capable of doing it.
Right.
And you can never let that go from your spirit and understanding that, because once upon a time, right, we were the servants of sin and we were free from righteousness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning we did not have that guilt. We did not have any shame. We did not have any godly sorrow in it. So with that, what winds up happening, as we grow, invariably, you are going to see people that suffer from everything under the law.
Mm.
Everything. Like the most depraved things in the law.
Right.
And there's probably people here now who deal with it. They just don't talk about it for fear of being shamed openly.
Right.
Right. We know that there's repenting homosexuals amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there's repenting drug addicts among us, murderers. All right. Man stealers. Okay. We know that there's repenting people who have spirits that maybe they're like animals in them. Bestiality and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All those things are here, and if they're not, they're going to come.
Right.
So invariably, as we grow, more people are going to come. And the problem is, because the depths of Christianity, the social construct that is, the César Borgia, how it's ingrained and has been passed on from generation to generation amongst our people, still resides in us to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be in this a lot longer than you were in the world before you really can say that you have an equilibrium.
Right.
Right? So if you didn't repent till you were 30 years old, you need a good 30 years before you're going to really have all that out your system as far as Christianity and things like that.
Mm.
Right? This is why you have to let your mind be the mind of Christ. Right? This is why that scripture that talks about the natural man beholding his face, and when he turns away, he forgets.
Right.
Right. That natural man is that sinful man that when we turn away from this Bible, we forget ourselves and we go back to when we lived in sin, like you read here. Right. When we were the servants of sin.
Uh-huh.
Right. And we weren't subject to righteousness, and you forget that. So the Bible is our only sanctuary. It's our haven where we hold ourselves, and it lets us see our true self.
Uh-huh.
You're supposed to look into the Bible and see everything wrong with you. Not everything right. You're supposed to see everything wrong with you so that then you can fix the right. That's why it says the law is not for a righteous man.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to be able to look in that mirror. Because what do you look in the mirror for?
So you see your imperfections.
So you can see your imperfections and fix them.
Oh, yeah, I got a pimple there.
Right? I got a pimple. Oh, I got something in my tooth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My hair ain't right. I don't like the way the wave went or this.
Right.
The beard's sticking out this way. Right?
Yeah.
My skin is dry. All right? I don't like this. I don't like this blotch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't look in a mirror, right, to say, oh, I look good. You look in a mirror to see what's wrong.
Right.
And then you say you look good after you fix what's wrong in the mirror, right? But you look in a mirror to see what looks wrong,
right,
so you can fix it. And most of the time we see wrong. So what happens is invariably as people come in, you're going to have the type of sisters that we're going to show on next week's show here professing righteousness. Because what do they say? Where you want to meet a good, you want to meet a good woman or a good man?
Church.
Go to church.
Right.
Go to church.
But then we all jacked up.
And... But then they come here and they think they're going to find perfection.
Mm.
And I said, what you will find here is the application of perfection, but not perfection.
Right.
And as we grow, you're going to see more of these people creep in amongst us, and not all of them are going to be right.
Mm.
And that starts with the sisters. And they're going to try to trap these men up. You're going to see, and listen, sisters, I'm not saying that a man that's in the right spirit and you can't repent. I'm going to preface that now. I'll preface it again because people feel, I mean, I don't really care, but people's feelings are going to get hurt. Right? As long as I'm not being mean-spirited. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's biblical, I don't really care.
There's no malice.
There's no malice in it. You know, I'm going to make jokes about it, but that's just my nature. But we have to put the warning out to brothers and sisters.
Right.
Because just because people are in here with fringes and a border of blue don't mean everybody's right.
That's facts.
Because if not, then the scripture wouldn't say live like this, roll like this, do that.
Be perfect,
right?
And that makes it more dangerous.
There's going to be liars. There's going to be hypocrites. There's going to be people who deal falsely.
Right.
And this is why it says don't suffer sin. This is the place that you come. This is the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
This is that living mirror.
And be ready to be told.
Where you walk in here and people are supposed to tell you what's wrong with you.
Right. Can I get some real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Get wisdom of Solomon. He said, this is that living mirror. It's not a light thing. And it's a more dangerous thing, too, because we come in here, like you said, with that mindset that this is where everyone's supposed to be righteous. Wisdom of Solomon.
This isn't even my topic.
See,
this is the preview to the topic for next week, but go ahead.
7 and 26.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 26. For she is the brightness of the everlasting light.
He's talking about wisdom. Wisdom is what allows us to repent. God lets his wisdom be shown unto us. He shows us Christ, and that's what brings us into repentance. That's what makes us new. But it says that wisdom is the brightness of the everlasting light. Read.
The unspotted mirror.
The what?
Unspotted mirror of the power of God.
So wisdom is that mirror. When we come into the body, that's where we have access to the unspotted mirror, the perfection that Deacon was talking about, where we can get ourselves right. Read.
Of the power of God and the image of his goodness.
Read.
And being but one. She can do all things.
Through wisdom, you can overcome being a murderer. Through wisdom, you can overcome those sexual sins. Through wisdom, she can do all things. Read.
And remaining in herself, she maketh all things new.
Wisdom is what makes us new. That's what truly turns us into that new creature. Read.
And in all ages, entering into holy souls.
But the stipulation is wisdom can only enter into holy souls. You have to have a holy soul for that wisdom to really do what it's supposed to do to make you new and for you to really use that mirror the way it needs to be used. Read.
She maketh them friends of God and prophets.
And that's all I wanted.
Oh, praise. Let's go back to Romans 6, all right? And then read verse 20 again.
The book of Romans, chapter 6.
Start at 19.
And verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh.
Right. We all have that infirmity in our flesh, all right? And people that come through these doors are going to have that. And Galatians 5:17 tells you that that's a constant thing. Until the grave, that's what you're going to deal with, right? Read that real quick in Galatians 5:17, and then we'll come back. Gosh, man, I'm going everywhere else except where I want to go.
I can always change the class topic, the class title after.
No, we're not going to change it after because I'm not ready, bro. I want to go in deep when I go into that stuff. I'm not ready.
You sure?
I'm not ready, bro. Just go.
The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh.
Right, so this is a constant thing that's going on amongst us, all right? That's a constant thing. Read it again from the top.
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit.
The flesh lusteth against the spirit, meaning it wants to be a servant to sin. When I come back to Romans 6, you're going to understand what's being said here, right? It means that we were servants to sin. Those of us coming into this, we become servants to sin, all right? And let me tell you, the lure of sin is so strong that even children who are raised up in this feel like they want to go and do like, what's the Amish, the Rumspringer that the Amish do?
Oh, yeah, go try the
right?
world.
Right, where they go and they try the world, and then if they choose the world, they got to stay in the world,
okay.
Right? And they can never come back.
Hmm.
Or they could go and they get like this 3 months grace where they could go and do whatever they want. And there was a show that they did on, I don't know, it was MTV.
I think I remember that, yeah.
And it was something about
living with the Amish.
Living with the Amish, and they went on Rumspringer and they followed them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think one of them never went back. The rest went back, and it was all types of stuff. But that's what happens with like some of the young kids that are in here. We pray that's not the case, right? That cycle should be broken as we raise our kids in this.
Right.
But that thing is ever present there is the point. It doesn't matter if you're born in this or not. It's harder, I think, if you're not born in it. That's my opinion, right? Because we knew other things.
Right.
We walked after those traditions of men, right, and ungodliness. and we were in service to those things, right? As when we come back to Romans 6, you'll see that. That sentiment here that we're reading in Galatians 5:17, what that feeling that you have within yourself, that's ever present, right? But the only thing that keeps you on the straight and narrow is going to be these commandments, these scriptures, that mirror, right? And then two are better than one because it's tough out there by yourself.
Right.
Who's holding you accountable? Who's seeing the things that you can't see because you don't have the outside view, right? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, read this again.
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit.
Breaking Amish. Was that what it's called? Breaking Amish? Okay. Somebody says break it out. Go ahead, read it again.
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit.
So the flesh lusts against the spirit. That's just the way we are right now, right? Go ahead, come on.
And the spirit against the flesh.
And in the spirit, right? If you're working on this discipline and building yourself up in this, the spirit beats back the flesh, right? That's why Paul says, you know, I keep under my body these things, right? I die daily, mm-hmm. right? Because you have this constant thing going on. Is that it?
No, sir.
Uh-huh. Come on.
And these are contrary the one to the other.
And they're always going to be contrary one to the other, meaning that each and every one of us has an internal conflict constantly going on, mm-hmm. right? For some of us, it's stronger, right? And it's a more constant thing. For others, you might have peace for a while, right? And then something comes up that triggers you, right? That tempts you, right? And it pulls you in that direction, all right? But meaning, especially for those of us that have came out of this, going back to my point, when we lead up to next week's show, all right, it's important that these things are spoken. I know you're going to have the group out there. It's going to be, oh, well, why are you talking about this? Why are you saying this? That mm-hmm. Listen, what did I say? Hit dog holler. If the shoe fits, wear it.
Right.
If you're in the right spirit, you're going to realize if you were like that, you're going to feel shamed. And you're going to say, damn, I'm glad I'm not like that anymore. And if you're still like that, you're going to be mad.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means that that's still in you. Now, go back. Romans 6.
The book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh.
That's that lust of the flesh, that warfare against the spirit. You have that infirmity of your flesh. Come on.
For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness.
That could have been alcohol. That could have been drugs. That could have been homosexuality. That could have been all types of whoremongering. The multitude of sins that our people have done and are capable of, all right? You've yielded your members, servants, to unclean. He don't just say that you did it. He says you were servants to that. That's what's out there in the world. You were living to do it.
Mm.
You were living to do it. When you're a servant, your whole life revolves around your servitude.
Right.
You were living to sin.
Deacon, you remember, I don't know, for me, Friday nights, you literally work all week to know that you're going out Friday night to go to the club. Just like we serve the Sabbath day.
So I don't know how it was in other parts. In New York, it started on Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, you got Thursday.
It started Thursday, right? And then, you know, I was a teenager going to clubs.
Right,
drinking,
right.
Going to clubs and things like that.
Yeah.
But I went because I was looking for one thing.
Women.
I was looking for women.
Right.
That's it. I was chasing the behind,
mm-hmm.
right? And then as you got a little older, you're like, I'm not into the clubs no more. I go to the lounges. I remember we had all the lounges. All right, yeah. You're going to go to this lounge. You're going to go to that lounge.
The lounges.
Right, yeah. Right. Someone said, blow your whole check. Exactly. You would line it up. And I'll tell you, I would remember because if you struck out that night,
mm-hmm.
you felt like you didn't have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you didn't even get a number, let's say, some nights.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, damn. And the whole thing was you were amped for Friday and Saturday because you were ready to roll. You wanted to hook up. You wanted to meet somebody, whatever it was.
Right.
That was it. It was not really the stuff that happened in between. You talk about that later. It wasn't really about hanging with the fellas. It wasn't about any of that.
Nah.
It was going to roll that way. Right. And listen, I'm talking about men. Sisters roll in that same spirit
because
we got the other video next week. Let's talk about 90% of women have it in them to cheat.
Mm.
All right.
Hey, that video was heavy.
Y'all getting preview.
Right. I'm spending a lot of time on this. But
just saying we're almost going into
But anyway, come back. Read it.
The book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness.
When you yield, that means you give up. Mm. There ain't no fight in you. Galatians 5:17 said when you're in this walk, when you're trying to apply discipline, when you want wisdom to walk with you by crooked ways, like the scripture says, it says that you war one against another.
Mm-hmm.
They're contrary, and you're constantly battling against these things, right? Mm. So he says, when we were in the world, we yielded Or meaning they didn't have to take us into servitude to sin.
We willingly walked
into that captivity in service to sin. Right? Go ahead. Come on.
Ye yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity.
Sin upon sin upon sin. Because one sin led to another sin and another sin. Come on.
Even so, now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness.
Get that where it says, as it was your way to go astray.
Yes,
seek them 10 times more. That's basically what he's saying here in Romans 6, right?
Yep.
The book of Baruch, chapter 4, verse 28. For as it was your mind to go astray from God, so being returned, seek him 10 times more.
Now go back and read that part where he says, even so now, Romans 6, 19.
The book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 19.
Come on.
Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness.
So as it was for you to just yield, you didn't fight. There was no resistance when you wanted to be in sin.
Right.
And added sin to sin. You're supposed to yield those members now and walk into that bondage in Christ just as willingly. But that doesn't happen all the time.
No.
In other words,
we're resisting.
Right.
Right. Discipline yourself. We're resisting. We resist that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the thing is, sometimes you fall into complacency because you're doing so well in that battle.
Right.
You're winning so many battles and so many wars. It's kind of
like you always say, you go on autopilot.
It's kind of like the fighter that he's just so good. There's no competition. And then he stops training his heart.
Right. Right.
And then he'll fight that nemesis and he'll lose that fight. And then you'll have a trilogy because now it puts something back in them, right?
Right?
Or some of them just chumps and they never get back after that,
right?
Right? So you have to walk circumspectly, right? That goes into the steps of being circumspect. So it says that you have to realize what we came from. And people like that are not so easily going to leave those things behind. So when we go and we visit this topic and we start showing some of the stuff that we're showing, people are going to get offended and you should be. Read on as we continue to read on.
Verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness.
You had no guilt in your mind. You didn't have the obligations of performing the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have understandings of the judgment of what comes from those sinful behaviors. You didn't know right from wrong.
That's why people can say, yeah.
And if you did know right from wrong, you had no conscience about it.
Right. Because it was okay in the world.
You didn't feel guilt about it.
You didn't feel guilt about it because the world justifies it.
Right.
So that's Christianity because it's
that
like...
That is Christianity.
That's Christianity because I can love God and I can say profess Jesus. I can profess Christ and, mm-hmm. and God and all this and still be like, hey, bro, but, you know, I still got a device. You see
right.
what I mean?
You got your vices, right.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead, read on.
What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?
That's when you know that you're actually fighting.
Mm-hmm.
When you can look at those things in hindsight, that's how you know you're really moving into growing up into that fullness and stature of Christ, into that new creature in Christ. When you can say, what was going to be the fruit of those things that I did when I yielded my members to iniquity upon iniquity, that ye are now ashamed. If you're in your right mind and in your right spirit, you're ashamed of the things that you did.
Right.
You look at them back shamefully. So I say that to say, right, that when this stuff comes out, oh, you shaming people. Well, first of all, we ain't calling nobody's damn names on it.
Right.
And if you're feeling that and you feel shameful, embrace that shamefulness.
Mm.
Don't resist and push against it and get angry to the point of bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace the shame that comes with that because what that's going to bring forth is godly sorrow.
Right.
And godly sorrow is going to bring forth fruit meets for repentance. Read verse 21 in total.
Verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death.
For the end of those things is death. For the ends of those things is death. What were you going to say?
And what you said about it's heavy is like, if you get
hot,
if you get mad of being told what's wrong with you, and then instead of recognizing and acknowledging that you are wrong, that you do have those spirits, but then you buck up and you're rebellious, then Satan starts speaking through you. Y'all
right.
shaming me. Y'all not trying to help me. Y'all... it's like y'all trying to make fun of me instead of helping me out.
You're extolling yourself in your own counsel.
Yes.
Yeah.
You start exactly. You start telling yourself, well, not really. Satan starts telling you, no, they're wrong. No, you're okay. Don't change. Don't discipline yourself. It doesn't hurt. Bro, I hear it. I've heard it. I've said it. But all praise to the Most High. We're here. We're fighting. And if you're about this, you're gonna struggle through. You're gonna push through. You're gonna discipline yourself. This thing's just heavy, man.
Yeah. Praise. Oh, praise. So that's just the preview.
Preview.
That's the preview. And then we'll show the video of one of the videos we're going to show so you can see why people are going to be all offended.
We got 10 minutes. We can do a little more 10 minutes and then go into the power hour.
Come on, man. Why are you trying to?
We get 10 more, then we're just doing it.
That's how you're going to do it. You're going to take me 10 more minutes. You're going to take me 10 more minutes.
Once the spirit gets going, we're not stopping.
10 more minutes. Right. 10 more minutes.
We're trying to cap it right now.
Yeah. You're going to take me going. Hey, and let me give you another example. I'm sorry. I had it up. Let me get numbers 12 and 14.
I'm just saying.
All right? Give you another example. I'm sorry, I had it up and I don't have it ready. This is what I'm saying. You got to embrace the shamefulness, right? And again, a lot of times, you know, stuff will come out, and again, nobody's name's being said, but people's, oh, but how is that edifying? You still have Caesar Borgia in your head. It's ingrained in you, right? You still have that in your system. Let her. Okay, start at verse 13.
The book of Numbers, chapter 12 and verse 13.
So this was Miriam, right? This was after she got turned leprous, right? And Moses felt bad, and he was trying to treat for his sister, right?
Right.
Okay, come on.
Verse 13. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee.
And listen to God's reply, all right? You want healing? You got to embrace that. Remember Paul said, those things where you were ashamed of, mm-hmm. that the ends of those ways were death.
Right.
Right? When you read verse, because a lot of times we quote Romans 6:23 in isolation, but if you read up, he really lays the foundation for all that there. Because I don't understand how you can read Romans 6 mm-hmm. and then say to yourself, see, we're free from sin.
Right.
When it actually says the opposite. Because Christianity will tell you that you're free from sin, meaning that sin don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is they're doubling down on exactly what Romans 6 is telling you that you shouldn't do anymore.
That iniquity unto iniquity.
That you've yielded your members, that you've added iniquity to iniquity.
Right.
Right. They double down on that. Mm-hmm. Right. Your apologist and all those people, they double down on that when mm-hmm. they say that. But when you read Romans 6 in its totality, it's saying exactly what we just explained.
Right.
Right. But go ahead. So. You got to embrace the shamefulness. So when this stuff comes out, and if the shoe fits and it's you, feel ashamed. You know what that is? That's the seeds of repentance.
Right.
When you feel ashamed of those behaviors. Oh. Go ahead. Read this. Romans 6 and Numbers 6 and 12 and 14. My
the
bad.
Book of Numbers, chapter 12 and verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again.
Right. Where's the other one where it says them that sin rebuke before all? Right.
Timothy.
Right. Because people look at, oh, you know, why are you bringing this type of stuff up? And again, I haven't even brought it up yet. I'm lining y'all up. All right, I'm doing this now so next week I don't have to. I could just jump in. But he said, hey, because that was a custom, that if your daughter did something that was out of order, you would spit in her face.
Right.
Because that's right. To get spit in your face, that's a shameful thing, right?
Yeah.
So he said, well, her father never did it. She wasn't raised right. He said, so now we're going to go ahead and we're going to put her out so right. that she can be shamed from the congregation 7 days.
Right.
Right? So that shame is something that we need to embrace, right, when that stuff comes out.
Right.
Right? We magnify. So... And if you're upset about it when you see those type of things, it's because you're not in the right spirit. You're still embracing that old person.
Can I bring something out real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Get a Sirach. Get Sirach 4. 4 and verse.
Well, wait. Bring this first. And
yes,
then
sir.
Go there. And then go there.
1 Timothy 5 and verse 20. Uh-huh. Them that sin rebuke before all,
uh-huh.
that others also may fear.
Right. Go ahead.
I charge thee before God. And the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels.
Right. So he's saying you got to do some things you got to bring out publicly. Right. Why? Because there's a shame in that. And people will be, oh, because what happens when people see that? We don't always do that. We use discretion in certain
it's
matters.
It's very rare when it has to happen.
But when it does happen, what people think?
Right.
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 It's like kids.
Because it's shameful. And you might feel shameful for the person that was put to open shame.
Right.
Right. But with that comes...
Godly sorrow.
It's like kids. Yes, when I correct one of them, the other three are like, let me get myself together. Let me not do what he did, because
right.
I'm going to get the chancla.
Right. Right. That's why you would see the other one getting it, right? Hey, and sometimes, I don't know how it is in Southern Kingdom households, but you would get it too. But I didn't do nothing, just in case, so you don't do it too.
Right, right.
You might get a couple fuetazos there también, yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. Quietos, papa, you know, that's yeah. it. And I remember be like that, but I didn't do nothing. Why?
Just in case.
Right, just in case.
You should have stopped.
I'll tell you, Deacon, a Judah household, if one sibling get a whooping, all of them.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's how it works. You should have stopped them.
You're not going to sit in the corner and say, I ain't doing nothing.
Yeah. They get on everybody.
You want the rest of it?
No. Go ahead. Bring what you want to bring. I gotta go back to what I was talking about.
Look,
a shy bro. Come on, man. Stop guiding me somewhere else.
Get Ciroc 3.
It's not even the title. We're not even.
I can always go back.
People tuning
title.
In thinking they're gonna see about the nail in the coffin.
Right.
Oh gosh.
4 and 18. Because we were talking about wisdom earlier. Wisdom being that mirror. Wisdom. We're wrestling with wisdom, right? So this goes along, right? This is literally the Most High giving us the solution, but go ahead, read.
The book of Sirach, chapter 4, verse 18. Yeah. Then will she return the straight way unto him, and comfort him, and show him her secret.
If you stick to wisdom, and you stick in that mirror, you see what's going on, and you struggle through it. Wisdom will return unto you, and she will comfort you, read. But if you go wrong, you decide not to continue to push forward. You don't take the correction. You don't take the open rebuke, read.
She will forsake him.
Wisdom will forsake you, read.
And give him over to his own ruin.
And then what you didn't want to correct can be the downfall of your own ruin. Read.
Observe the opportunity.
But this is what I wanted to get to. I even remember Deacon did a class where he pointed this out. It's an opportunity. When we find ourselves in those situations of shame, rebuke, we are in a situation that we don't want to be in. It's an opportunity for us to learn, to grow, and to get stronger. Read.
And beware of evil.
Beware of evil, though, when that opportunity presents itself, because it's how you look at what's going on. Read.
And be not ashamed when it concerneth thy soul.
Don't be ashamed of the sin or what you're dealing with. That's not the shame that it's saying to be ashamed of. Read.
For there is a shame that bringeth sin.
Because there's a shame that brings forth sin. There's a shame where you feel so ashamed that you fall away. You just start going all out, read.
And there is a shame which is glory and grace.
And that's the shame that Deacon is talking about that we need to embrace. When we feel that shame, there's a good shame, and it's an opportunity. That shame, the scripture calls that shame an opportunity for us to grow in wisdom, to grow in understanding, and to get better. Is that it?
That's it. Can I bring one more out about shame?
Sure.
Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3.
Since you done hijacked the topic.
I did it, bro.
You know, he knows how to goad me. He just threw a little something. They flashed it up on the screen, and it got the juices flowing. And
yeah, that's obviously a shot.
Hey, woke my tire behind up.
Hey, that's how, you know, all praise to the Most High. That's how we were able to get new equipment at the school. We were able to get a new...
Oh, damn. He giving me the tactics? So you say he manipulate me?
Right.
Damn. I'm just kidding. Right. And I still get Coquito after it. Nah, I'm just kidding.
First Thessalonians 3.
3 and 14.
Book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 13.
14.
There's no 14. You want second?
I'm sorry. Thank you. Yes.
Second Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 14.
Yes.
And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. And have no company with him, that he may be ashamed.
I'm gonna give y'all a secret, brothers and sisters that are struggling to get yourselves right. Some of us stop hanging out with you as much because you have yet to change.
Right.
You've been in this years, not even months, years, and we note you that you have not changed, and we start departing from you because you have yet to fix your spirit.
Mm.
You have yet to take correction. You have yet to go get past your devices or your vices. And then we start, which it says, have no company with him. Doesn't mean we hate you. Doesn't mean we're not going to talk to you or shalom you or salute you or have cordial with you.
The way we deal with you has to change.
It has to change. Why? So that you may be ashamed. Why don't we hang out no more? All you like to do is drink.
Hey,
why can't I come over to your house no more? Because you haven't changed.
Right.
Straight up, I'm going to tell you a secret. That's what the Bible says. And be ashamed because you have yet to repent.
One more script. Second Timothy 2 and 15, real quick. Because this is an extreme. Just like Matthew 18, the last step of Matthew 18 is to be put out the synagogue. You have to be counted as an infidel, right? These are all extremes. For us to get to a point where you have to be noted, to where we no longer keep company with you,
That's an extreme, and there's something that led up to it. But go ahead and read.
Which one?
2 Timothy 2 and 15.
The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
Freedom.
Study to show thyself approved unto God.
That's what we need to do, because that's that perfect mirror. Deacon brought it up earlier in James, where it talks about looking into this mirror. The Bible is where you're going to be able to study so that you can show yourself approved unto God, because you're going to start doing what you're studying. Read.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed.
Because a workman that studies doesn't need to be ashamed. But if you are not studying to apply, then there is a need for you to be ashamed.
Thank you. To apply. It's not only studying. Brothers study all the time, but to apply.
Right.
It says a workman.
I think that was the class where I brought that out, because I think it was called about studying to show yourself approved. And I think, remember you said I brought that out. I think that was the class.
That specific class?
It was that class, I think. Because I was trying to remember. I said, damn, I said that.
Yeah.
And then you also brought the Thessalonians.
Right.
It was on a feast day, like New Moon or something.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, praises. You got to run some of that back sometime.
A workman that needed not to be ashamed.
Right, read.
Rightly dividing the word of God. Of truth.
And the whole important, that last part is heavy, because once you study to show yourself approved unto God, and you now are a workman that has no need of being ashamed, you can rightly divide the word of truth to your nation that needs you. All of us have a nation right now that is depending on us to be able to raise it up. We have to repair the breaches. Saviors have to rise up upon Mount Zion. Bishop Nathaniel can't do it all alone. Deacon Yahshua can't do it all alone. We need leaders in the nation, and this is a nation of leaders, not followers. But we have to learn how to properly do it, how to rightly divide the word of truth. So it's needed. We got to study.
Right. And let me just put up the definition of vice, because there's so many definitions of it. It's not always necessarily sinful, because I posted in the group, because that one's going to say immoral, wicked behavior, but it's not always like that. It's the one from Cambridge. I posted the link in the group, and you can see it. There we go. Thank you. And I want the noun, right? I want the noun. That's not it. Go down. There we go. The noun. All right. Read it.
Vice. A moral fault or weakness in someone's character.
Right. It's a weakness because, like, I gave the example of the brother. Is it a sin to play video games?
No, not at all.
No. Comes a vice to you because you're getting your car repossessed because you're not going to work. You're not working. It affects your whole decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
You have a family. You have kids. You have responsibilities. And you're sitting there like a big baby, freaking with drool coming down the side of your mouth, getting your dopamine hit off of video games for hours on end.
Right.
And mind you, I'll say it again in case anybody tuned in late. I play games. I just don't play. I play them for maybe a couple days every few months,
right,
if that.
Right.
Because I'm too busy in other more meaningful things. I have enough sense that it's not a vice to me anymore. Once upon a time, it was.
I heard
so I speak from experience.
Right.
I know, you know.
Right.
And then you deny that it's a vice.
And you think about it too, Deacon. You have purpose in life.
Right.
You think the commandments and this truth give you a purpose in life. Instead of wasting our time on the examples, video games, movies, hanging out, you actually are living out a life where we are restoring a nation back to its greatness again.
Right.
You're spending your time at MOV with men that you are building with, Camp
right.
101. Women, you're with the daughters of Sarah, Titus 2. You are living and not sitting there allowing someone else telling you or giving you a dream of what life could be.
Right. You're not coming to MOV and being involved in church because you're just sitting there freaking playing video games.
Right.
So can I borrow your PS5 then?
Nah, you can't borrow my PS5.
Hey, you remember, I think the class that you was just talking about, I want to say you had brought out the fact that the PS5 that you were able to get, it sat in the box for months.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. I remember sending my brother a picture, my younger brother, because he be gaming, and I had bought it. I took it out the box, the shipment box that it came in,
right,
and it stayed in the box in front of my TV for like 5 or 6 months before I even opened it.
Hey, and I say that for folks that are coming to comments and be like, oh, Deacon play video games.
Right.
No, that thing sat there because it's work to be done.
It don't have sway over me.
Right.
Occasionally, I do like to. I like I said, I grew up in that generation.
Mm-hmm.
I play, but I can't. I got other things going on, you
right.
know? I don't even get to watch, I think like these past like maybe 6-7 weeks, I haven't even really been watching that many like shows.
Movies,
you know,
right.
you know, a lot of times I'll be quoting movies and stuff. I haven't really seen that much lately.
Yeah, I've been meaning to hit you up and be like, because there's times that I have downtime. I'm like, what movie should I watch?
I haven't been into it. I know people ask me, hey, you recommend anything? And I'm
right.
like, I haven't really
Right.
Been able to, I mean, I'll browse, stuff will play in the background while I'm snoring on the damn couch.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
I'd
be on Netflix trying to find something.
Yeah, I mean, I've
my
seen a few things. I think I spoke about The Peripheral. I had seen The Peripheral. I think that was the last thing I went.
What's it called?
To back. No, that's not true. I did watch Kaleidoscope recently. That was pretty
that's
good.
That's on what?
Netflix.
Okay.
It's like a heist film, but they play it in different order.
Okay.
And it's random for everybody.
I'm not big into series, bro.
So now it's no, but it's like a 9-hour movie versus a series.
Nah, I'm good.
No, and because you know, I mean, it's a series, but what's a series?
Okay.
They're roughly an hour each episode.
Right, right.
I mean, some of them are 45. So
which one? The person?
I call those series that you binge watch like an 8-hour movie.
Right.
I saw
right.
like a joke meme one time where somebody said like, "Hey, you want to watch an 8-hour movie? Hell no. You want to binge watch 8 seasons
right.
of 1-hour episodes?"
When you put it like that, it makes a little more sense.
Right. So that's why I say it's like a 9-hour movie. No, but it's good. But it's
someone
good.
Said, my drug is working on my car.
Hey, you know what? If you can acknowledge that, man, and you realize that that's a vice for you, then, you know, you got to be able to discipline yourself and bring that into a little more subjection. It's not a sin to work on your car.
Right.
Right?
And it can even be a talent.
That's why, that's why I like this definition. Read it again.
A moral fault or weakness in someone's character.
Right. It could be sinful, but it also could just be a weakness in your character that
right.
you got to shore up.
Right.
Working on your car is not a sin.
Can I say
no.
something about this?
Mm-hmm.
So there's brothers in the congregation that older brothers in age that can't do social media,
mm-hmm.
but they can work on their cars. And the young men growing up today don't know how to, what's a screwdriver, don't know how to swing a hammer. And we need you.
Right.
Because the young men need to learn how to change oil. The young men need to learn how to build.
I just learned I could do a serpentine belt because I was exhorted by one of the officers out here. Shout out to Officer Issachar.
Good.
I saved $200-$300 by doing it myself.
Yeah.
Didn't even know that I could. I didn't know. I
see,
thought,
and but I'm just at a point where I don't have time for that, so I'll just pay the
$200-$300. Yeah,
that
makes sense.
Is it worth the time it would take me to do it? I could be doing stuff that might make me more.
It frustrated the hell out of
right?
me.
Bro, but I'm saying there's many members in the body.
Right.
And just because, you know, you can't do what the other brother's doing, but you can do this, have initiative and be like, hey, I can't do social media. I don't really know how to work the phones. I can teach. I can steer the kids into.
Yeah, but I mean, that's different. That's just
mean?
Somebody saying that they don't feel comfortable in a skill. I'm talking about people that who their vices are more important than them actually being productive.
Right.
And that's what makes it a vice by its nature.
Right.
It's something that you can't stop, that you can't, even though you could, but seemingly you can and you don't have control of it.
Right.
You know?
It's pulling you away from what you should be doing. Can I get one more script?
That's really what it goes into of doing your own pleasures. We said take that in. Oh, you can't have sex on the Sabbath. No. Oh, gosh. That's I'll leave it
Get Wisdom of Solomon real quick.
Bro, you guys are not letting me do my topic, bro, and I got like an hour left.
No, well, let's stop there. No, let's
last
stop.
Script.
No,
last
because
script.
We might not have enough to go all the way on this topic. And then I'm going to do 30 minutes of the other one?
Well, let's stop it there. Tobias.
Hey, it's the spirit moving.
No, finish the scripture. Go ahead.
Spirit moving.
Where
the spirit,
am I going?
The spirit giving utterance.
This freaking guy keeps tricking me over here.
Me?
It's you.
It's this guy pulling scripture.
What you talking about?
Hey, someone said I'm addicted to stock options. Hey, you know what? Brothers got to be careful with that stuff, man.
Right.
But we had a brother here, but it wasn't stock. It was 4X, right?
Uh-huh.
He lost his job, his apartment,
right.
the whole thing, freaking putting money
digital
in 4X.
Digital currencies.
Right. Well, no, it was foreign exchange.
Yeah,
foreign
I remember
exchange.
That.
I'm not even talking about crypto and stuff like that. He was like foreign exchange.
Right.
Jacked his whole stuff up, bro. Had to be demoted for a while, so he got his stuff together and everything like that. So it could be. I mean, even if you're successful at it, let's say you're on the flip side and you're successful at it, then what that really means is you have a love of money.
Right.
Because if you're glued to that you're not being productive in other things,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a balance. I mean,
choices.
You know, that's a whole other thing. I remember years ago I said I was going to do a thing about, what do they call it? Gosh, man. And my wife was sending me videos on it for a while. Money disorders. They call them money disorders.
Money
and there's
disorder.
Like a whole, there's
that?
A whole, it really goes into the levels of the love of money.
Right.
And it's the relationship that people have emotionally with money.
Because there's an emotional charge behind it.
And money has an emotional charge, and there should not be. And the charge is not always greed.
Right.
Some people fear not having money. But everybody has an emotion around money.
Right.
Everybody has an emotion about money.
You brought that up in the past class, too.
That's another thing that I eventually want to go over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wisdom of Solomon, 7:30, real quick.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon. After this, no more scriptures, Tobias. We're going to go into Amalek.
Hey, get the definition back up on the screen real quick.
Look at all these notes. I'm not getting through these notes. You guys messed me up, bro.
We usually hit three scriptures on the notepad.
I told you, bro.
I was trying to finish all of them. It's like it don't even make sense for me to go in them now.
I said 10 more minutes, and then we'll stop, and then Tobias started bringing out more scriptures.
Come on.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 30. I'm sorry. For after this cometh night.
Right.
But vice shall not prevail against wisdom.
But what?
But vice shall not prevail against wisdom.
The one thing that will not prevail is vice will not prevail against wisdom. It keeps coming back to wisdom. Wisdom is the brightness of that mirror. Wisdom is what's going to guide you. And it's vice is not going to prevail against wisdom. We got to make sure that we're mindful of that. And it says a moral fault or weakness. So that weakness cannot prevail against wisdom. Wisdom is what will make you strong.
Right. Money disorders. It was that. That's what you're right on that.
See, it's him. Right. He's the one keen in on words. And then...
No. But I like where he's going there. And I like that the definition says weakness, because we're going to run this definition back when we run back into the hard times create strong men.
Right.
Right. We need strong men, and I don't mean strong just in body, all right? Because there's a lot of brothers that are strong in body, and they homos.
Mm.
Bro, it's the truth.
Facts.
Oklahoma know about it.
Ooh.
I'm sorry. Oh, man. Listen, though, you might be strong. You know, people think strong, and we're thinking the way the world says strong, right? Like,
right. Like,
oh, you know, I'm macho and this and that, right? Mm-hmm. And we do need masculinity, right?
Facts.
But there's so much more to strength than just the outward appearance of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more to strength than just the outward appearance of it. So
that's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a strong man to sit there and put down the vice.
It sure does. That's why I could speak so boldly about certain things.
Mm.
You know, I could tell you with the video, Bo, it's not an issue for me.
Right.
It's not. I could put it down. Man, I think there was one night I was playing a couple weeks back, and I was damn near falling asleep playing. I said, my old ass can't play this stuff no more, man. My eyes start burning. Bo, I would be like 8 hours straight gaming, bro.
Right,
I'd be
right.
like, can't do it no more, bro.
That makes sense.
My body, I got to go pee all the time. Oh, man.
To get back,
that's just waiting for you on the other side of 40, man. That's what's going on, bro. Oh, my goodness.
Let me borrow your PS5, bro.
Nah, man. You don't lend stuff out like that. You
know, I'm just like
people lending their cars. I don't do that either.
Never get it back.
My abuelo used to tell me, he said, lending your cars like lending your woman. You don't do it.
Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't do it. Nope. People don't.
Just get borrow my car before.
Nah, I don't do that. I don't know about you, brothers. I'm sorry. I know.
You got a bag in better condition, though.
I got to work on my charity because I ain't lending my car to nobody.
Car was washed.
Or my PS5. Oh, man. Yeah, man. I ain't doing that. All right. Okay.
So, Amalek.
So we're gonna. I want to wrap up the Amalek thing, man.
Let's get it.
Oh my goodness! Now I got to sift through these scriptures. To...
Put the camera on me real quick. I just want to say something. Well, I'm not gonna say it. I'm just gonna. Stop.
Oh my goodness.
Uh oh.
Look.
What's that? What is that?
The camera ain't even on you.
I'm not bringing nothing out.
Now it's on him. Now it's on him.
I'm not saying nothing. The floor is yours.
All right. Hey, some people's vice is hounding other camps
because
they got nothing better to do with their Saturday morning.
Cha-ching!
Dang.
Boom! Bro, come on.
Dang.
I mean, I'm not saying people named Mark Reiser do stuff like that, but people named Mark Reiser sound like people who do stuff like that.
It makes sense.
Right.
It makes sense.
They think there's some sort of warrior to...
Right, but he comes up to the camp. He's not getting no reactions from us. You could tell he was in his feelings the whole time the camp was going, and then he just started turning up at the end of camp because he got nothing the whole time we were doing
right.
Camp.
Because right, because they try to say that we're there. Oh, pray for them so that they could convert. Bro, you're not converting us back to lies. Like so,
the law converts. So if we convert it, we're going to God's laws. Come on,
right? Come on.
For brothers that like come from other camps, like, oh man, I want to go. I want to see Mark Reiser so I can blast him. And bro, he's a lowlife, bro.
It's not just that. It's that what profit is there for us to debate Edom?
None.
Right.
to debate these other names. Now, you know, if it's all people, that's different. You know, you're going to try to see if you can, you know, exhort and convince the gainsayers. You know what I'm saying? Like the scripture tells you. But otherwise, the hell with that. But that's a vice, like, because you just can't help yourself. All you do is talk about, right? And I don't know how basically you're not bold enough to do your own ministry to go out and teach and bring souls to repentance. So you have to do it by creating a villain and demonizing them to try to get people to follow you.
Right.
And that's pathetic.
But then, you know, he had a follower and I don't know what happened and she ended up being on OnlyFans. So.
What the hell?
Where did this
about?
Come from?
Blue Waffle. That was her follower.
Nobody knows about that,
but
you're going all the way back.
You know,
I was just trying to make a general thing to throw a little shade.
But you stuck.
And then you had to Issachar it.
I did it.
And you had to Issachar it.
Thank you, Soldier. Instead of putting bombs when the bombs are needed.
Oh, man. All right. Let me see what we got on the screen. Because I saw the video that I said will show that might help me with the whole thing. No, not that. The hell with him. We passed that. No, you could take that down. I'm way past him.
Yeah.
I did the 2-part class on that. You could leave her up.
We never did this one.
This one I might do. Let me see what else you got. Now you could get rid of that. You can close that. You can close that.
No religious group. Israel and
Judah. Leave it just in case. Go ahead. Leave it just in case. What else you got? Nah, you can close that. We're past that. Leave that just in case. No, you can get rid of that. You can get rid of Vice. Nope, you can get rid of Whoopi. Whoopi.
Whoopi.
No, we don't need that. We did that, the ADL spy thing, right? We did that.
Yeah,
right?
That was on Sabbath.
Yeah, we did it on Sabbath, right? Yeah, we did that. You get rid of that. Thank you. You get rid of Godfrey, too. We don't need that.
Sounds like this is leading right back, you know,
to the topic at hand.
No, it's not. Because I got to finish getting this out.
Go to the pictures. You got pictures and stuff like that.
I got pictures.
Next thing you know, next thing you know, Deacon going to be on Clubhouse.
You can hear, oh, goodness.
Soldier David in the back.
No, you could get rid of that. We don't need that.
We don't need that.
I did that on the class.
Yeah, man, I think Amalek's done.
No, it's not, bro. Stop it.
They're a thing of the past.
You guys are the worst.
I'm not saying nothing.
Go to the video about the invention of the white people. We're going to do that, all right? My goodness. I got to get the rest of this little bit. It's all out of order now. I'm so disheartened.
After 5 series.
My goodness.
And 300 episodes.
No, and then I got to see like how I want to selectively go through the rest of these scriptures and bring this out.
Let's start off with this one and then see how it goes.
Let's see how this goes. Is that the guy from 40-Year-Old Virgin?
It looks like it.
Is that him?
It really
is
does.
Is that what he's doing now?
Roman. He says, see, man, you look, you put the...
Romani Malcar Jr.
You put it on
Malcar
the pedestal.
Jr. Is that him? It looked like him.
Right.
American actor.
Is it him?
Yes.
It is him.
Yes.
I knew it looked like him.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, go ahead, play this. All right, we shift the gears to what the topic actually is now. Up until this point, that was the show intro.
Right.
You still want to do the preview at the end?
We are going to do the preview at the end.
Oh.
We are going to do the preview at the end. Yeah, we're going to run that. We're going to run that a few times. Gotta get the people ready so that they tune in next week on time and all of that. All right.
It gets the people going.
It's provocative.
You funny, bro.
All right, so let me try to bring some stuff back recap it because it's been 5 or 6 weeks.
A little while.
Bring it back 5 weeks.
Let me bring it back 5 weeks. Well, I did do the Sabbath classes on it.
Right.
So I did kind of expand upon it more during the 2-part Sabbath classes I did. So we obviously, you know, there's been so much discussion about Jewish and all this other stuff. And again, I wanna finish it because everybody says I never finish the topic, so I want to finish the topic. I want to be able to, you know, sometimes it's good. Like, we just condense the topic, but a lot of times we just drop them and we don't go back.
Right.
Because so much other good information comes out, and then you guys start coming with stuff, and and different things come out. So I want to kind of finish up because there were some scriptures I didn't get to bring out, some other stuff I wanted to go over, just kind of really, you know, make the final points on this. And, you know, Peter, that'll probably be it as far as us commentating on it for a little while. But, you know, along the vein of realizing that Edom, Esau, the so-called white man, it's not just
the devil the Bible speaks of.
Right. They're not just the synagogue of Satan. Even in their whiteness, they're imposters of who they really are. All right. They've white, even black is a misnomer.
Right.
Right. There are no white. White is your T-shirt.
Right.
Right.
So they even stole what they call themselves now.
Yes. Mm. Right. And they called us black. Right.
Right.
And they even got some of our people on that thing just thinking black is just the color, right? It's like that, what's his name? Rashid what? The comic that died? Where he said he went into the bodega, he was messing with him, and he goes, some people know who I'm talking about. And that's the one he said, I live on fifth floor. I live on five. And he says, Poppy ain't no snitch. And he says,
he died?
He died a while ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he died. Some heart failure thing. Something.
Walking with some big TV like it's a cell phone.
And there's a scene there, and he says that he's talking to the, you know, Northern Kingdom guy behind the counter. He's like, why are you, blah, 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 why are you always messing with me and something? And he was like, you always causing problems, whatever. And basically he goes, man, you gotta stop messing around. You black too. He goes, yeah. But you black like this. Meaning there's a complexion,
right,
and then there's a batching of a condition that Edom came up with, chiefly Edom and the other nations that they called black.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, black is a misnomer,
right?
We use those terms because that's a colloquialism. It's a common speech,
right?
People don't know what Judah is, what Ephraim is. So you have to say a black man.
You can't even
you
say a brown man.
You have to say
man.
Hispanic man. You can't even say a brown man.
No.
Right? Nobody's really brown, right? Like I don't know if we got anything brown in this room, but we got stuff that's black.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the real shade,
right?
Like the little panels here, that's black.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, occasionally, and even somebody whose skin complexion is as dark, it's not pure black, right? It almost gets purplish as it gets that color, right? Because of the hue. And there's no white people. Even albinism is not really white. It's a shade on the lighter spectrum. I say that to say that that's part of the speak that they put in our head to continue to propagate their lies,
right?
All
right,
and put this whole agenda out against us. So we are going to talk again about the little piece and reminding about the Jewish and how
history
they are
of America
and how they are and how they are invented. But even further than them, it's not just Jewish people that are an invention. All right, it's white people in general. Was invented, right? So we're going to watch this video. It says black race, white race, explained. And this is so important for our people to understand, because if you can embrace this, then those of those haters who are out there, like, you know, Bishop Nathaniel went in on Sabbath bringing out all the Northern Kingdom stuff for those people that, oh, well, the Northern Kingdom were never under curses. And some people just say things sometimes without any assurance that they know what they're talking about.
Right.
It's amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to go based on a color and not what the Bible says identifies who the people of the book are.
Right.
But let's play this video and we'll see from there. All right.
History of America is the history of rich white men telling not rich white people that their enemies are black and brown. It starts in the colonies of what
would
become
from the
beginning
United
States.
I'm sorry. I was looking at something.
I want to hear it. History of America is the history of rich white men telling not rich white people that their enemies are black and brown. It starts in the colonies of what would become the United States.
So he says this whole game that they played, and we know it goes back further than that, but when you talk about modern day,
with America being Babylon the Great and everything. He says it started with the colonies.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these rich white people telling non-rich white people,
mm-hmm.
right, that the enemies are black and brown people. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying with, like, Reiser, how his whole premise is supposedly to preach the gospel. And say, I never see that guy preaching anything that's just straight Christianity.
No.
No.
He's always preaching against what he calls Israelism, against Israelites. He used to do Islam, but his focal point is us.
Right.
Right? Nothing else. Whereas our focal point is not him at all.
It's the Bible.
It's the Bible, and it's the recovering and the message going forth to bring our people back to repentance, to God's
right.
laws, the rebuilding of a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have to create a villain in order to have people rally behind you.
Right.
Thing is, we didn't have to create a villain. The Most High told us who the villains are, right? Let's get that in Nehemiah. Is it Nehemiah 5 and 9? The heathen or enemy? Am I quoting it off?
Believe
I know
so.
It's Nehemiah.
Yes, Nehemiah.
All right?
That's it. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 5 and verse 9. Also I said, it is not good that ye do, i.e. not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemy.
Right? He says the heathen. Heathen is anybody that's outside of the Israelites, okay? Meaning all the other nations. And it says those are our enemies, all right? That's who God had named on my enemies. And there's other scriptures that you can bring out in regards to that. Let's go to Luke 1. I'm going to go to it quickly because I want to get to my stuff. Start at verse 70, all right?
The book of St.
Actually, we start at 68. We got to bring that whole part out. Go ahead, come on.
The book of St. Luke, chapter 1 and verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people.
Right, so God hath visited and redeemed his people, a possessive, come on.
And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
That's going into Jesus Christ, the black Messiah, come on.
As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began.
That's going into when Christ says Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, they were written of me, right? Go ahead, come on.
Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies.
So there always has to be that type of narrative to rally people together, except we get it divinely from God.
Right.
All
right?
So they go and what they have to do, okay, let's make a Messiah, except our Messiah will be white. And who are the enemies? It's going to be the black and brown, the so-called black and brown people, mm-hmm. all right? And we're going to unite against them. But the Bible says that we should be saved from our enemies. We just read in Nehemiah 5 who that is, and it's the heathen, these other nations, right? Come on.
And from the hand of all that hate us.
Right? Jump to verse 74.
Verse 74, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear.
Might serve him by delivering the hand out of our enemies, might serve him without fear, right? So they create this whole scenario of who's good and who's bad, who's right and who's wrong. And so what he's saying here is that this started during the time of the colonies, right? It's Rashid Thurman. That's the guy that he's saying. I know it's Rashid. I always forget his last name. Poppy ain't no snitch. That's a funny skit. Go ahead. He go in on Benji, too, on that one, too. He said that Benji don't have names. Their name is their job.
Dang.
And it's true. Like, I don't know how a lot of y'all out west don't be around Benji like that. He'd be like Carpenter. Isn't it? So is that, he's like, who you mean, Dave? No, Carpenter. He's the carpenter, right?
Right.
Oh, he's the electrician. He's this. That's how they know
how
each other.
Out east.
Bro, Benji know what I'm talking about. Go ahead. Good.
America is the history of rich white men telling not rich white people that their enemies are black and brown. It starts in the colonies of what would become the United States.
And there's a white man saying this, right? So this is the tongue falling upon himself, right? Go ahead, come on.
During the colonial period, mid-1600s, there was no such thing as white people. I know some people who are now called white find that shocking. Right?
Stop. You know what he said? He said there's no such thing as white people. There's none.
Right.
There's none.
He's right.
Meaning they have a tendency to be imposters. They have a tendency to take on the identity of whoever they feel like they want to take on.
Right.
White people's a misnomer. Misnomer means it's a misapplication of a term,
uh-huh.
right? Like them calling us a hate group, that's a misnomer, right? Uh-huh. We're not a hate group.
Right.
Them saying black Hebrew Israelites, no, right? Yes, we know that they were dark, that the
original Hebrews were dark skinned, but we also understand that through various captivities, not just the Spaniards and the conquistadors. Remember, Northern Kingdom went into the Assyrian captivity mm-hmm. first. Then after that, we wound up with Babylon and, you know, Persia Median right. and everything else. And we were always in a series of captivities, right? Mm-hmm. And then we came over here, and that's when we got a little more whiteness, right? Because most of us came here before the time of the Greeks.
Right.
Right? And then the Greeks came in, but got us all, right? Got us all. And there was different ways that things went on and so forth. But Northern Kingdom was mixing way before, right, even Southern Kingdom was in the various captivities with lighter skin races. Point is, he says it's not true.
And really, also, too, the real Europeans were black, so-called black.
Right. Well, yeah, like the original Greeks. And,
the original
Well, they
Greeks.
Were Japheth. They were dark-skinned.
Exactly.
They were dark-skinned, right? But right. go ahead. Come on.
We think whiteness is real. Mm-hmm. But whiteness was created. Europeans didn't call themselves white. We didn't call ourselves white. We weren't all members of one big happy family. Are you kidding? Have you studied the history of Europe? The history of Europe was about killing each other. That's what we did in Europe. We just killed each other before we figured out there were other people to kill. We just killed each other.
Stop. So that's why he says he would live by the sword, right? You read that
right.
in Genesis, right?
Right.
And that was his blessing, right?
Yeah.
That he would live by the sword. Let's get that really quick, all right?
So he is.
And we'll jump straight to the point so we can see that blessing, right? And he says, he goes, and you know, they always knew that we were the enemy, but they got busy fighting each other for a while.
Right.
Right. Like with all the Greek city states. And that's why they got united under Alexander. And I forgot that his freaking father's name before him.
Alexander's father.
Yeah. Does it say it in Maccabees?
It, oh, damn.
Does it say it in Maccabees?
Philip.
Yep. It was Philip. Right. Philip of Macedon is what they call him. Right. Philip of Macedon. You see that in that movie with Colin Farrell. Val Kilmer, I think, played his father in the beginning of that movie. And he was the one who first united them all together, right? That's why Greek became such a world power, right? It was like, hey, let's stop killing each other and let's focus on, you know, they call them the savages, the barbarians, so on and so forth. And it was really coming after us, right? But go ahead.
You want to read this?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Read that. Sorry.
The book of Genesis, chapter 27 and verse 4.
So he says, listen, we were busy killing each other until we realized there were other people that we can focus on and kill together, basically. Right? Go ahead. Come on.
And by thy sword thou live and shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck.
Right. So he says, by thy sword thou shalt live, meaning that they were all about violence. They were all about that, right? This is why you see that they're always warring, right? Go ahead. Come on.
All members of one big happy
You're good.
Family? Are you kidding? Have you studied the history of Europe? The history of Europe was about killing each other. That's what we did in Europe. We just killed each other before we figured out there were other people to kill. We just killed each other. I mean, that was the history of Europe. The English hated the Irish, right? Northern Italians didn't even think that Southern Italians were Italians. The Germans hated everybody, and everybody hated their ass right back, right? There was no team called white, no race called white, but all of a sudden, in the middle of the 1600s, there was. Why? Why was it suddenly necessary to create this thing called the white race?
Stop. Well, so notice he says that term, the white race, didn't happen to the middle of the 1600s,
mm-hmm.
right? They didn't consider themselves that, but they saw an opportunity,
mm-hmm.
right? And they had to create a villain, right? Bishop did an amazing class some years back called Heroes and Villains, and he went over that, right? And he showed how, you know, it's a matter of perspective, who the hero and who the villain is,
right?
Right? Unless you have a compass, right, or a lodestar, so to speak, which is the Bible. And that's the mediator that tells us what really is the enemy, who really is the hero, right?
Right.
In our history. Go ahead, come on.
Rich people can count, that's why. And so rich folks looked around, the ones that owned all the land, you know, in the colonies, the colonial elite looked around and they realized something, that they were heavily outnumbered by African enslaved folks, by European indentured servants, who were just one level above a slave, or other Europeans who weren't technically indentured servants, but they were still peasants, didn't have any money, didn't have any land, and they could do the math. They added it up, and they were like, damn, we got to figure out a way to split these folks apart from one another, or they're going to rise up and take our stuff, right? Because after a while, these black folks who were enslaved Africans and these quote-unquote white folks who were poor Europeans are going to figure out they're all getting played by these rich people, right? So ultimately, the rich figure out they got to come up with some way to get somebody in that group on their team. The easiest thing is to get the poor European, right? At least they
right,
look
stop.
Like you. They sort of
so that's why when you hear this thing about how the Irish as indentured service and other Europeans, they wound up galvanizing with them. They might have had a lower class status,
right?
But it wasn't the same. When they try to tell you they were the same, they were not slaves, it was not none of that, it wasn't like that,
right?
All right? They if there was any type of struggle for them, it was just in classism, right? They were not slaves. He even said it. He says a step above a slave, but that step above was a big step, mm-hmm. right, compared to the captivity where we went in. What he doesn't mention is how Gad was slaves as well. And because if you're talking about colonial times,
right,
then, ooh. You know, you're talking about Gadites as well, right? And then, of course, if you get back, if you really want to talk about colonizing, the colonizing really started by the Spaniards, right?
Yep.
And it went on from there. But that whole thing where they try to tell you the Irish were slaves, no, they're not the same.
No.
It's not the same because they wound up being targeted to galvanize with them. They gave the Irish land.
Yes.
Right? They let them just
– money.
And whose
job.
Land was that?
Right.
That was Gad's land that they that
stole.
They moved off, right? That they moved away, right? Go ahead. Come on.
Somebody in that group on their team, the easiest thing is to get the poor European, right? Because at least they look like you. They sort of share some of the customs and the culture. So they all of a sudden create this thing called whiteness, and they say, now you're part of the club. Now we're going to let you testify in court, enter into contracts, vote, at least if you're a man, own a little bit of land, at least if you're a man, right? And we're going to get rid of indentured servitude, no more of that, because you're too good for that. And we're going to take the white men, now called white men, and put them on the slave patrol to keep black people in line. Give them a horse and a gun and a badge and make them feel big and powerful, right? They're still poor. They still don't have anything. They didn't pay the slave patrol well, right? Just exploited them, used them as a buffer between the elite and the other poor folks, particularly poor folks of color. And pretty soon the rebellions that occasionally happened where black and white got together to overthrow the elite, those stopped because the divide and conquer had begun to work, right? You could turn people against each other by telling those poor white folks they got to keep these black people. And so that divide and conquer gets initiated in the colonies. Rich white men telling not rich white people that their enemies are black and brown.
Right. So the whole premise behind that was they wanted to consolidate their power,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's what happens. That's the stages of colonization, right? You
right.
have to come in, right?
Right.
You conquer, you displace, and then once you're there, you must now consolidate the power that you gained by setting that thing up.
Hey, it's like going over with the King Leopold,
mm-hmm.
Leopold, and how he was telling them, look, pretty much I'm rich and I'm going to get richer, but I need your help and I need you to destroy what was Africa and pretty much colonize them, kill them, make them believe in a god, make them believe in all this. But you see what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I get what
hey, can you pull up the picture?
He gave him that card.
I'm about to show it. He gave him this card.
He gave him that card.
This is something I found at a gas station for those of you that know Scottsdale in Arizona is where pretty much most of Esau lives. And they
you
got,
found this?
I found this, bro.
You, what, on the floor at the gas station?
At the gas station.
Here in Arizona?
Here. No, right. Here in Scottsdale, Arizona.
It
in Scottsdale,
says,
Arizona.
It says white privilege
zoom
card.
It in. Zoom it into the
Trump's
top.
Everything.
Look,
hey,
look.
Hey, member six. Soldier Raphael found some of those a few years ago, too.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah,
bro, when I saw this, I was like, bro, and I was in Scottsdale.
Bro,
it says.
Member since birth. Good through death. Card holder, scot-free.
Scot-free, bro.
WP.
Bro. So that's when, hey, here you go. Here's your badge. And go slay them. Bam.
That's wild.
I found these, and I was like, bro, I was laughing, and I was in Scottsdale.
That's wild.
Doing a job out there.
So that's not even something he found on the internet.
No.
He literally found, yes, this is real. He found these cards.
I was at the gas station in Scottsdale where Scottsdale, for those that you don't know, it's where a lot of the white people live, a lot of rich houses, a lot of big houses out there.
I don't even want to say a lot. I'm going to say it's like
it's like 99.9% white.
Yes.
Scottsdale. Like it's,
and I stopped. I saw.
Was that what you said, Zodi?
The north end of Scottsdale is where all of Esau is, but the south end is kind of.
Yes. Yeah. That's when the Tempe starts hitting.
Oh, yeah. Tempe starts hitting. You might have some doctors, lawyers, some professionals amongst our people that live there. But you go to North Scottsdale,
that's a higher class. So, it's like, you know, you got like middle class, upper middle class. As the more north you go, it starts to go up the totem pole.
So I look down. I see a little packet, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what this is. Is this drugs or something? So I grab my gloves. I opened it, and there was like five of these cards. And I still have them in my truck. I'm going to give them to Tobias here. And, hey, you work out there now. I'm going to give it to you, bro.
Yeah, man. Be like, look what I got. What does this give me?
Hell no. Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. I'm trying to, like, I have too many scriptures for the time we have left.
Let's go.
But, you know, I do want to point something out because somebody was talking crap, and I saw it again in one of the recent feeds or something like that. Let's get Matthew 13 because they tune in sometimes and they be in the comments.
Hey, hi haters. Some of y'all have been known. I've been commenting back on your comments. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your views. Some of y'all are really dumb, but y'all still share our content. Y'all still like, y'all still help us with your views. We love you haters. We appreciate you. Thank you for the support.
Though they hate their loyal viewers.
Yes, they are. And I've been giving them a thumbs down and a thank you for watching our content. We couldn't do this without you. All praise.
Hold on. Let me see where I want to get to.
And for the brothers and sisters for the brothers and sisters watching, remember, IUIC.fundraising@israelunite.org. The profits will be going back out to travel. All right. Help us in the booster club.
All right, let me get to the point because I don't want to give these people too. I don't want to give these cretins too much time, but I'm gonna mention this. Let's get 13:29.
The book of Saint Matthew, chapter 13,
28,
and verse 28. He said unto them, "An enemy hath done this."
Right, meaning that they put tares amongst the wheat. Okay, come on, read.
The servant said unto him, "Wilt thou then that?"
How? Why is that cord?
Hit it again. Hit it again.
Bro, what's up with our cable management? That, like, all I do is move my foot and a cord come out?
We need new mixer.
No, don't tell me some new stuff. Don't tell me some. They sell the little cable sleeve and you can bunch the cables together.
We got to do a lot of business.
Oh, my goodness, bro. I see all these cables. It look like a fire hazard. They, like, freaking twist tied up.
Yeah. Oh, see, he was trying to observe the
They sell the mesh, like the cable sleeves, so that doesn't happen.
I'm Googling that right now.
Yeah, bro. Or just look for cable management or like cable mesh. You go to Home Depot and they sell it, bro. Goodness. So we had some guys because we had mentioned loosely about the wheat and the tares,
right?
They were saying that we're off. That doesn't mean that you might have people amongst us that are not Israel, right? But I have a precept for that. I have a precept for that.
Right.
Okay. That's going to. Shows that these freaking idiots.
They don't know what they're talking about.
They don't know what they're talking about, right? They tune in. They want to give the view, but they don't want to humble themselves to see what the scriptures are saying, okay? But go ahead. Read verse 28 again.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 13 and verse 28. He said unto them, "An enemy hath done this." The servant said unto him, "Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?"
Right. So it says an enemy have done this, right? Meaning that there are going to be people who will try to creep in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And profess to be Israel, right? Come on, read.
But he said, "Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them."
Right. And just to save time, verse 30 says that he's going to separate when they come, right? That he's going to sift them. Now, the argument was is that that's only talking about Israelites, right? And yes, that's part of it, right? You're going to have people who are amongst us who are those clouds without water, whatever, so on and so forth. But let's get Amos 9.
Yes, sir.
Amos 9.
Fire script.
And I want to start. Where do I want to start?
Hey, that's the one I wanted to bring up for the last time we were trying to do a...
What, verse 9?
Amos 9 and 9. Start at...
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Book of Amos, chapter 9 and verse 9. For, lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations.
Right. So here he's going to say corn, and what we just read, it says wheat. He says, I will sift them among all nations. Because we were talking about how, I remember how we had a conversation one time with Bishop years back. This is before he started really moving heavy into Africa, because when I first came in, we were like, no, Hamites, that's it.
Right.
But he started, you know, Most High was dealing with him and does deal with him and was telling him, you know, no, we got to start doing this. We got to go here. We got to go there. And we were having a discussion and we were saying, hey, man, like, you know, you're going to see people in the diaspora that's not just so-called blacks and Hispanics.
Right.
There's remnants of our people in other parts of the country, right? Meaning you might have people that look Arab and there are Israel, right?
Right?
Certain groups of the population in India, mm-hmm. right? The Dalits, okay? You have certain groups that are in there, the Sindhis, right? You have certain groups that are in there, right?
Right.
In Pakistan, all right? There's certain groups that are there. You might have certain groups in other parts, all right, that could potentially be Israel. So remember, the scripture said we'll be scattered everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. Isaiah 11:11 tells you that he will gather them from everywhere. Mm-hmm. Amos 9 supports what we just read, but I like Amos 9 because it uses the same reference about sifting.
Right.
Like you read in the wheats and the tares. For those people who are, oh, because they were like, yeah, I try to call in to talk about that. I guess Nathaniel blocked them because that wasn't really the topic.
Right.
But they want, see, they want to call to debate. They don't got their own show. They don't got nothing else. They want to call in to try to correct us on scripture. And listen, I'm not saying we're above pro, but we deal with that amongst ourselves.
Right.
If something comes out that's not correct.
Why come into the class?
Because, again, it's that Mark Reiser thing.
Right.
Where you got to have a villain, you got to build your thing on that, you know, so that's what you focus on. But go ahead, read this again in Amos 9. Come on.
4, lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations.
Why? Because we will be scattered. So he's literally saying that he will sift us among all nations. Come on.
Like as corn is sifted in a sieve.
Come on.
He shall not the least.
Yet
shall not the least grain fall upon the earth.
Right. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Meaning that he's going to take out those who are Israel amongst all of those. Okay. Amongst
right.
all of that. All right. And this is why he goes on and you read in verse 11.
Right.
That he goes on and he says this. Right. Come on.
Verse 10. All the sinners.
No, not 10. Just jump to verse 11.
Verse,
go ahead. Read 10. You started it. It's fine. Because remember, I said it is Israel, too, when
right.
it talks about sinners that sit amongst us. Go ahead. Read it.
All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword,
uh-huh.
which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us.
Right, right. Because there's some that are going to sit amongst us. Like the scripture talks about the clouds without water, so
right.
on. There's spots in your feet, so on and so forth. But this is why he says he's going to restore the tabernacle like at old, right? Amos 9 and 11 now. Come on.
In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old.
Right. And so as in the days of old, you're looking at it, and what is that going into? How was it in the days of old? It says, first of all, it says it's going to restore the tabernacle of David.
Right.
The kingdoms were united under David.
Right.
All right? They were together under David and under Solomon, okay? He says that they were united. He says, I'm going to restore it, and I'm going to close up those breaches. I'm going to bring them back together, all right? And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Come on, read.
That they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this.
Right, so it says that we will possess the remnant of Edom, right? What's left of them after the destruction comes, okay? To serve in that hard bondage, and all of the other heathen that were confederate against us, which are called by my name, meaning those that are Amalek, that call them by their name, and we're going to run that back in a second. We get that in Revelation 2 and 9. Those that call by his name, all right? And Edom being their real name, letting you know that that rest of them, that I felt the sneeze coming. I hate when it happens. It's like on, you know,
it just got to come. Yeah.
Someone told me sniff and like it'll either come out or go away.
Right.
Like when you feel like a sneeze is coming.
Yeah. Try to like shake it off.
I know, but I forgot to sniff, so that's why I was pausing there for a second, like I was frozen. But it says the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name. All right. The other meaning of called by my name is God gave them all their own names. Mm-hmm. Remember, I had brought this out. I don't know if I brought it on the class or on the show, but I was saying how part of their crafty counsel is naming themselves something else also.
Right,
right. Right. This goes into what we just saw in the video here where he says the white race was invented.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a term that was used by them. Neither was Chinese, Japanese, Korean,
right.
None of those type of things. All right. That was part of their crafty counsel to misname us, to scatter us, to divide and conquer
mm-hmm.
along the lines as they went with it as well. But one thing they did maintain is that, okay, you might be Italian, you might be Irish, but we're all white, right, amongst themselves.
Right.
And they gathered together under that whiteness, mm-hmm. right? And this is what he says, the invention of the white race. That's why I said I do want to dive into that at some point. I won't continue on with it past this show.
Next year.
I don't know.
Next year?
Maybe next year. I don't know, right? So let's get Revelations 2 and 9 real quick, right?
The book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not.
Right, so the blasphemy of say they are Jews and are not. And it's important that we continue to bring this out because the Rizorites are trying to say that that's talking about is again, that's like that. You got to be careful when you try to say things like the weed and tear. That's why I wonder if it was an apologist that was saying that thing. I don't want to say apologist because that's the right way to say it.
Yeah.
If it was an apologetic, because they get mad when we say they say that we're ignorant,
right.
We say the wrong thing, but they don't realize that we're just antagonizing them
on purpose.
Right. Well, we know clear well what you call yourselves, just like you know clear well what God and the Bible calls us.
Angie.
But you choose to call us something different,
right?
You try to minimize us, so it's don't think you're gonna get
you.
Right. Don't think you're gonna get no respect on it, all right? So the apologetics come with this thing that Revelation 2:9 is talking about actual Israelites,
right?
And that they're the synagogue of Satan. Like so, he's trying to say that it's the Pharisees and stuff like that, but it's not because as you read on in verse 10, go ahead.
Verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer.
Uh-huh.
Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison.
Who has power to do that stuff? Who has power to be able to cast us into prison? All right. Then and now, it was the Romans, specifically Herod, right?
Right.
You read that where Herod, is it Matthew 10? Is it 10:14? Let me see if I have that written down. I don't know if I had it written down. Oh, no, Matthew 14 and 1. That's the one I want, Matthew 14 and 1.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 14 and verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him. And put him in prison.
Right. So he's not just talking about white people when you read that. All right. It's specifically talking about them that are called by their name. Them that say they are Jews
Amalek.
And are not Amalek. That's what I didn't see up there. I said I was going to run back the Herod thing. I need those pictures from the who's who in the Bible. Right. Because I want to make this point that the invention of the white race goes well beyond just Jewish people.
Right.
All right. It started with that, and then they took that meaning. He says that white people galvanizing together started in the 1600s, saying that they're white. But really, the example of that started here in biblical times, all right, when Herod and the Herodians took the identity of Jews,
right.
All right? Now, a lot of that happened because they were forced to convert. Is it in Esther that you read that? When many converted first because of fear of us,
right?
So they took on our customs, right, as our people, which was just a foreshadowing of what we read in Amos 9,
right?
How they're going to serve us and they're going to be our possession, right? You read that also in Isaiah 11 as well, that we're going to possess them for handmaidens and servants.
Isaiah 14,
that's it, right? So it goes into the same thing. Now, this is the who's who, right? Go back, read Revelation 2:10 again.
The book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 10.
Well, read 9 then into 10. Come on.
Verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not.
That's not talking about Israelites, because that's the new doctrine out there, brothers and sisters. Somebody's going to try to come and steal your crown. They're going to try to take away the good tidings that you like in Mark 4. They're going to quickly try to snatch it away from you and say, no, that's not talking about that. They're going to give you some obscure scripture in the New Testament to say that that's talking about real Israelites. But when you read verse 10, it lets you know that it's not. And it's because, see, they know this history. Mm-hmm. They just play on the fact that you're ignorant to this history of what we're going to show.
Right.
And that's why they're able to bring that out. And if they don't know it, if Chrysler does not know it, then he's not as
studied
and well-learned as he thinks he is.
Right.
All right. You know, the scripture talks about not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Mm-hmm. Not that the scriptures apply to his heathen behind anyway.
Right.
But he thinks they do. Mm-hmm. But he thinks himself somebody of note.
Right.
Right. But go ahead. Read verse 10 now.
Verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer.
Uh-huh.
Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison.
Right. So he's letting you know, right? He just said the synagogue of Satan, and he says the devil. The same thing. Who had the power to cast into Satan, to cast into prison? Herod. Finish up verse 10.
Into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death.
Right. The drop that. Get Revelation 13 and 6, and then we're going to go into these pages on the who's who.
The book of Revelation, chapter 13 and verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God.
Right, so it says he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. How?
To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven.
He blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Why? Because the name is the Israelites. That's the name that they blasphemed, all right? And his tabernacle is what? Talking about us. It says that he resides with us, all right? The Most High resides with us. So he blasphemed his name and his tabernacle by calling themselves Jews,
right?
Okay? They are not Jews. This is historical. This is what you read in the scriptures, all right? So now, let's get this over here in the who's who. Let's bring the first page up that I had, all right? There's other scriptures that I had, but like I said, because just the way the direction of the show went, we're not going to go there. I'm not going to get to the rest of these by any measure.
Sure.
I'm sure.
Hour plus plus?
I'm sure. You're looking more tired than I did when I started right now.
Dang.
Not with this self here.
No, that's not the first page. Herod the Great King. That's the one I want, right? I think that's the first one. All right, so this is from – you had it up on the screen. You showed the cover. Did you show the cover to him? This is the who's who in the Bible. This one happens to include the Apocrypha, which I really like. This is a scholarly work, okay, letting you know that Edom knows this information, all right? So this whole anti-Semitism thing that the synagogue of Satan is not who we say, this is truth,
right.
All right? Why don't they come after Joan Comey and Ronald Brownrigg, who did this, who compiled this who's who?
Right.
Right. How come they're not rolling with them in that regard?
It's still vexing. They said the Old Testament and the Apocrypha is the Old Testament.
Right. The Apocrypha is the Old Testament. But that's, again, that's colloquialism, though.
Right. They play on.
But it's the way it is. It's known as the Apocrypha, right?
Right.
So go ahead. Let's get the book.
All right. Herod the Great, King of the Jews, 37 to 4 B.C.,
uh-huh.
Through his political acumen and his
consummate.
I can barely see.
There you go.
Consummate diplomacy. Herod extended his authority from Galilee to become ruler of all the Jewish territories and, when in Rome in the year 40 B.C., was appointed king of Judea.
So stop. For some people, they might be like, yeah, okay, because they're thinking Herod's a Jew. That's
right.
What you read. He's a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thinking that means he's an Israelite, but it's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna make the distinction of who he is, right? This is that invention of the white race, okay, and blaspheming God's name. All right, go ahead, come on.
Although Herod liked to be regarded as a true Jew, in spite of his Edomite ancestry.
So when we say we are the real Jews, true Jews, right? You could interchange real and true,
right?
We're just saying what historical scholars
facts. And they try to say we don't know who the Edomites are. I mean, that's kind of pretty straightforward.
So what this tells you, okay, is that it says his Edomite ancestry, in spite of it. He'd like to say he was a true Jew. What they're really saying is that Edomites cannot be true Jews.
Facts.
It's impossible.
Right.
It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. Just like a dog is not a cat. Just like a man is not a woman,
right.
Or vice versa, all right? It's though they like to regard themselves as such, they cannot be so. Read it again.
Although Herod liked to be regarded as a true Jew, in spite of his Edomite ancestry, he had much sympathy with Greek culture and literature.
All right. Okay, keep reading. Keep reading.
He was a great builder, not only of the temple in Jerusalem and the shrine above the patriarchal cave and Machpelah, Hebron, and his many palace fortresses at Samaria, Jericho, Bethlehem, Masada, Machaerus, and the Antonia Fortress in Jerusalem, but also of other monuments as far afield as Damascus, Antioch, and Byblos.
Right, so the reason I wanted to read that is because he tried to set his name up and get himself accepted by giving gifts, right? A gift destroy of the heart.
Right.
So it was within his authority to be a great builder, right? Come on, read on.
Herod was a clever politician, consistently backed by the Romans.
So he had the Romans behind him, right? Come on.
And an efficient but unpredictable ruler, absolutely unscrupulous where his own interests and security were involved, and absolutely merciless when he felt his own safety was threatened. He executed one of his wives and two of his sons. Damn.
All right, so I just wanted to let you know that he brought this stuff out because he was trying to bring that out. So when you read where it says them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan,
right,
meaning there was a antagonist there at that time,
right,
and that antagonist started with the Herodians, who are Edomites. All right, get me the other one because I think it says something about Idumea too, the other one, right? Look, what does that one say? Nope, because that's out of the scope. There was another picture that says something else about him. It wasn't just those. Was that all you had? It was another page.
Bro, that lines up with all the movies you see about Esau. He killed
his
wife.
It was three pages.
Have you seen that it's the newer King Arthur?
Or is it that? Is it the one from the Bible dictionary that talks about Idumea being... No, that's not it. I swore there was three pages.
Yeah,
I knew I should have got the who's who.
I got you. Get ready to download.
All right, so you can put this up. No, put that up, what you had there. All right, Idumea.
He was the military governor?
I think so.
Yes.
Because it says something else, right?
Come on.
Come on. Let's get it together. I'm losing my energy.
Down. One more. Right there.
That's it. Yes. And then have the Bible dictionary one about Idumea ready too. Okay. Read this one now. Listen, normally I would be
right,
a little more energetic, but...
See, we could have gone into the other
topic.
Kidding, bro.
I put my energy at the front, all right? But I want to wrap this up.
No, I got you. Like Officer Zaral said, take the butter off.
Right.
Let's go.
Come on.
Herod. Sprung from a hero.
That's what his name meant in Greek. All right, come on.
Herod was the family name of the senior officer in the court of the Hasmonean prince, Hyrcanus II, called Antipater in the year of 63 BC. He was the military governor of Idumea, called Edom in the Old Testament.
All right, Idumea is also Edom. So when you read Idumea, it's talking about Edom as well. Flip to the Bible dictionary, and it'll say that as well. You just had it. Where it says Idumea means Edom. You just had it. Oh, my gosh. It was right there. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my
Take
God.
The
you
wheel
had
Jesus.
It right there. Why do you have to do so many? Why are you in the Ecuador folder? There we go. Thank you.
This is wild.
This is from the Zondervan's Compact Bible Dictionary. Go ahead, read it.
Idumea, pertaining to Edom.
Come on.
Greek and Roman name for Edom.
So it's interchangeable. When you see Idumea, it means Edom. Okay, it means Edom. And this is why they try to say, who's Edom? Nobody knows who Edom is. It's
right.
Some great mystery. They try to tell you who Edom is. They know everybody else, but they don't know who Edom is.
And then there was brothers that left thinking that Edom was like the Arabians or something.
Yeah,
like,
man. They all
like,
the way off.
This is clear as day.
Yep. Anyway, go back to what we were reading in the who's who, all right, to make this point, all right, and hammer this home.
That's wild.
All right. Go ahead, read it. He was the military governor.
He was the military governor of Idumea, called Edom in the Old Testament. The Idumean had been conquered.
So this is the history so that you can understand how you had people. Remember, because the new, I don't even want to say it's doctrine, the new propaganda, combat Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9,
right.
Okay, is that that's talking about Israelites who were talking about sinful Israelites. Just like we brought out how they said the wheat and the tares is not talking about other people trying to, other nations trying to kick in. Mm-hmm. That's why we had to precept that with Amos, right? So it says the new, remember, the new thing that people are going to try to trip you up with, the Rizorites and the apologetics and Christianity, because they all try to, like, he's supposed to be some expert that has the secret way to combat us, but none of his tactics work. He
never wins.
All right? He never wins. All right.
I want to win, but he never wins.
Shout
out, officer.
All right?
That's right.
Is that that's not talking about heathen. That's not talking about fake Jews. It's not talking about Jewish people.
Right.
But this is historical. So it's not anti-Semitic to bring out something historical. All right? The people who profess to be Jewish people today descend from the Herodians. All right? Remember, it says it was a family name, Herod.
Right.
Right? So they changed it up. So go ahead, the Idumeans.
The Idumeans had been conquered by John Hyrcanus in about 120 BC and forcibly converted to Judaism.
Right, he was Judah, right, John Hyrcanus? I think he was Judah. He was forcibly converted to Judaism, just like you read in it is Esther, right, where he says that many converted out of fear of them, right?
You want it?
Get that really quick, yep, get that really quick. Right, so we can bring that forward, because I know we just talk about, we really should quote those things when we bring it out, right?
8 and 17.
Uh-huh, yes, that's it.
You got it?
Yep.
The book of Esther, chapter 8, verse 17.
Someone said power plus plus.
Let's do it.
Not today, man. I'm tired. I was beat from the beginning of the show. Go ahead, come on.
The book of Esther, chapter 8, verse 17.
Uh-huh.
And in every province and every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day.
That's right.
And many of the people of the land became Jews.
Right, they became Jews, meaning they wanted, they became like us. They became Jewish, all right? Meaning having character. You're going to have to pull that definition up of Jewish now so I can make that point, okay?
Right.
Go ahead, is that it on that?
For the fear of the Jews fell upon them.
Right, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them, okay? As you pull that up, get me, go back to where we were about John Hyrcanus, okay? About John Hyrcanus, okay? Zoom in, all right? The Idumeans, come on.
The Idumeans had been conquered by John Hyrcanus in about 120 BC and forcibly converted to Judaism.
Right, just like you read in Esther, because of the fear of them, many of them became Jews, all right? So they forcibly were converted to Judaism, all right? Get me the Jewish definition, come on.
John Hyrcanus was a high priest.
Yes.
He's a Hasmonean Maccabean leader and
yep.
High priest. So he was Levi. Yes, sir.
Liba.
There you go.
Sapase.
Nabule.
I think it was an article. I mean, what
you can just look it up, the definition. I think it's, I did it as a screenshot, but it's Jewish. No, that's not it. It was a definition. It might have been dictionary, too. It might have been the dictionary definition.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Definition.
Right there.
Is it Webster? Let me see, is that it? Oh, okay, yeah, you can use that one, that's fine. So, now we see the definition of Jewish. When it says many became Jews, this is where Jewish came about, right? Go ahead, come on.
Relating to, or characteristic of, the Jews.
Right, so when it says many became Jews, you can't change your race.
Right.
It says that they basically started to follow after those customs,
right.
All right? They started to come, someone said, come on, pause. Oh, I'm too tired. Because it was the characteristics of those Jews, all right? So go back, read that last part again. So you have to understand this when somebody tries to tell you this. You got to be able to, I mean, you could just pull it with the scriptures,
that's
right?
It.
And give them those examples, but it's good to have a little more background so that you guys understand, all right, and you have this in your head, right? So go ahead. Read it from He Was the Military Governor. Come on.
Where's that at?
He was the military governor. It's underlined.
He was the military governor.
He was
of
the
Idumea.
Military governor of Idumea, called Edom in the Old Testament. The Idumeans had been conquered by John Hyrcanus in about 120 BC and forcibly converted to Judaism. This Antipater was a skilled politician who established his two sons within the court of Hyrcanus before being murdered in the year 43 BC. One of these sons, Herod the Great, so successfully courted Roman favor that he was the first to be called King of the Jews.
Right, so Herod the Great was the one we read before, right? That's the Herod that you read here in the scriptures. The reason they called him Herod the Great was because he did all that building, all right?
Right?
You have to understand that. The Herod that he's talking about here, okay, is a family name, right? So this is a different Herod. This is the one that got conquered under John Hyrcanus, okay?
Right.
So he goes on and he says, Herod the Great, come on, one of these sons, Herod the Great, that's the Herod that we read, that you read about in Revelation 2:9 and in Matthew 14 that we read about, the son.
Right.
Right. Go ahead, come on.
And his descendants became the puppet rulers for Rome in Greater Syria throughout the first century of the Christian era.
Right, so they became puppet rulers for Rome in these areas, all right? So it's letting you know that it was set up this way. Keep reading, come on.
Since the capture of Jerusalem by Pompey in 63 BC, the whole of Syria had become part of the Roman Empire. When Julius Caesar was...
So that was it. I just wanted you to understand that, because basically what he's saying is they basically stayed ruling as Jewish people after we were already exiled out. That goes into Luke. Can we get that with the flee to the mountains and then the time of the Gentiles? Let me get that really quick. 21. And then we'll wrap it up.
Yes, sir.
And we'll wrap it up until we go into the stuff for next week. Go ahead.
The book of St. Luke, chapter 21 and verse 21. Verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compass with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is not.
Right, so it was besieged, all right? It fell in 70 A.D., right? But this besiege started before that, right? Come on.
Them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein.
So what he's covering here is he says those that are in Jerusalem, flee. He says those that are round about it, flee. And those that are in countries nearby it, don't come back.
Right.
And to flee to the mountains, you read that in Matthew 2:13, we went into Africa, all right? We dispersed into Africa. Bishop went over that beautifully this last Sabbath class, showing the different areas where we went, how we moved along. Some of us stopped. We established settlements in different parts of Africa, but eventually we got pushed further and further into West Africa, and that's why we say the bulk were there, but we were scattered all throughout Africa as well, right?
Right.
Come on.
Verse 22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden
into all nations. We read that in Amos 9, okay?
Right.
You talk about how we're scattered amongst all nations. That was part of the curses. It says we will be led away captive into all nations. And then what would happen in Jerusalem?
And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
So when you read this part here in the Who's Who, where it says they became the puppet rulers for Rome until the first century of the Christian era,
right?
It's letting you know that they stayed in power after that, and that then they became basically identifying themselves as the Jewish, as the Jews, because what happened to us? We were scattered everywhere.
Right.
So we started calling ourselves the names of those other places. They were the only ones that had any type of power or authority to keep that type of identity and not get in trouble for it.
Right.
Because remember, it was illegal to be called a Jew. So how did they let them be called Jews?
Get away with it.
How did they let them? Because they knew. It was all a big, that's that confederacy, that crafty council around that whole thing, right? And like I said, Bishop went very beautifully into that, obviously, as he brought that history out. So
verse 24, it's thousands of years in just that one verse.
Yeah, man, there's a lot. There's a lot that goes on in that thing. So so that's the show. Any closing thoughts, guys?
Wait till next week.
Let me give you the preview for
next week. We get to see the video?
We're going
to
show that video.
Oh, snap.
We're going to show – and that's just one video we're going to show. And we're going to talk about – remember, we were talking about the things we got to be ashamed of.
Right.
Don't think, brothers, that you're not going to find sisters like this up in here.
They put the fear of God on me.
I know. I said, damn, Tobias having second thoughts, boy.
Right. I'm like, I don't know if I want to get married.
He said, I ain't back doing nothing.
Paul had a good idea.
He said, I ain't back doing nothing. So this
This is one of the videos we're going to show next week. Remember, that whole segue in the beginning was basically the intro to, we're going to shift gears a little bit next week, and we're going to go into, you know, like I said, it falls under the proving. It falls under the men having to be strong and
right.
realize. And don't just come in here and think because she has a head wrap and fringes and a border of blue that there isn't some things you need to find out about this sister.
No. Right?
You know, and we'll get on the brothers too, but we're going to talk about these sisters because from the woman come the beginning of sin. So
got to do it.
Yep. Go ahead. Come on.
I, Danielle, take you, Zeus, to be my lawfully wedded financial supporter. I vow to stress you the fuck out and eat off your plate for the rest of our lives. I will go through your phone in sickness and in health and accuse you of cheating whether I have found proof or not. I promise to gain weight and let myself go until you no longer want to stick your penis in
my mouth. No.
When times get rough between us, I will complain more and listen less, never pray about it, and make us both look stupid by airing all of our business on Facebook. And even though I got pregnant on purpose to trap you into marrying me, I still won't tell you about all the guys I let slut me out. I vow to love you for the rest of my life and never, ever leave you. As long as you don't lose your good-paying job with benefits, or I'll leave you for someone with good dick and money.
Damn.
I love you.
Damn. Damn. Man, we going to break that thing down next week, boy.
Oh,
we going to go into that. Do not think that sisters like that is just in the world. These sisters, that's where your brothers wait a while. Let a sister be here a little bit. Let us see what she,
yeah,
man.
Right.
Oh my goodness. I said, listen, sisters, some of you is going to be offended. That shame come over you.
Right.
It's for the betterment. We cannot let brothers be trapped up. All right.
It takes more than a year.
It takes more than a year.
Thanks for the reminder.
We say a year because we know people is burning and stuff like that. At least that gives you some stop gaps. But here's the thing, because I got a brother here that's rolling in that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all wait a year, but you've made your decision 3 or 4 months in if you're going to marry this person or not.
Yeah.
And that's some hasty stuff, man. Y'all ain't getting married for the right reasons. I've been talking about it for a while. I do have a multitude of ideas and thoughts.
Right.
So here's what we're going to do. Because it's all over the place. I want to narrow the scope. Lord's will, one of these Sabbath that I teach again, I got to see how the spirit moves me because I have another topic that I've been thinking about.
Right.
I want to do a class on proving.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And steps and things
down.
Like that.
I have my notebook. Right. Write it down.
But within that, there's so much that goes into it. It also falls into men building up strong men to not freaking fall for this BS.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Hey, you heard the part where she says, I'm going to let myself go or whatever, that you
right.
want to stick your penis in me.
Man.
Right. Well, you'll have sisters that, because they know they're leading up to the wedding, they dieting and all this stuff, and then they get you, and then they're going to just let themselves go.
Entrapment.
Yeah, man. Come on, man. Come on.
Can't do that.
Yeah, man. So we're gonna go into this stuff. This is just one video. That was a lot of truth there.
Man.
You know, that's, listen.
Hey, don't worry about the notes. Soldier David got you.
Oh, yeah, he got it. He's going to make sure it comes out.
David, instead of being a light tease, he's going to be taking notes all day.
Yeah. Look, so read what it says. There is a lot of truth. Okay, read that.
This is a lot of truth, and y'all men fell for the okie doke. Please be careful out here and properly vet every woman you entertain.
Or prove. Properly prove. So I will do a straight class on it, but we're going to start talking about this on the show, okay? Ooh. Go ahead, come on.
And not through the lens of your hurt and pain and past failed relationships, use your common sense.
But common sense is not that common, so we got to give it to you, right? Come on.
Your brain and your logic.
Right, your brain and your logic, not your penis, all right? Your brain and your logic, all right? Because I'm telling you, maybe that went over a lot of people's heads. It takes more than a year to find out if somebody's marriage material.
It really does.
And don't think because it's just in this truth that that's all right. And some of y'all can't even do the year. Some of y'all can't even do the year. All right. And a lot of y'all don't like to hear that. There's the other part that I said. You guys that do wait the year, you've already made your decision before the year is up.
Mm-hmm.
If you've not voiced it to each other, you start acting like it with each other.
Mm-hmm.
and I'll explain what that looks like. And or you have it in your head already, and you're just waiting for the wedding date.
You're just waiting it out.
You're just waiting it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way to go. We got to break this vicious cycle of the way we marry and choose and select partners in Israel, all
right?
I know the scripture says it's better to marry than to burn and all that stuff, but there still needs to be some value placed upon it. And we can't keep rolling this way. So we're gonna show all the ugly. We're gonna show all the ugly.
It's gonna be horrible.
Hey, and a lot are gonna focus on these women.
We need it.
A lot of us are gonna focus on these women, but we'll talk about it.
With Willie Lynch, they focused on the women. So the same way the focus was put on them then, the rebuilding, the repairing of the breach, the households, all of that, is, we gotta they gotta get some focus.
Yeah. There has to be a whole mind shift. It's amazing how, I mean, there's a lot. It's amazing how we can list the things we want in others, but we can't really list the strengths that we bring forth into a relationship either.
Remind me next week,
IT. It's such canned answers when you ask those type of questions.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much that goes into it. I don't know. I'll see how deep and thoroughly deep we get. But
hey, IT, remind me next week. We're starting off with the Song of Dragon by Officer Shem.
Oh, damn. We got to do that one.
When they started off like that.
So that's the show. Lord as well, I'll get some good sleep the night before next week's show.
You don't want to finish
so
it?
So I could, what?
The reading?
No, that was it.
You stopped that.
Oh,
no,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Use your brain.
Observe her for a period of time and see how she moves, not just with you, but with everyone.
Damn. Observe her for a period of time that we say should be at least a year, but it really should be three at a minimum.
Mm.
But go ahead.
Pay attention to more than her beauty and her body.
You hear that, brothers?
Or does that say
booty? And sisters.
That says booty, huh?
Yeah, he said booty because I guess he didn't want to put it with the T because then.
Makes sense. He liked prolonged body, so he got both in one.
Yeah.
Good luck. It says marriage nowadays.
See, everyone needs to just send emails to Deacon Yahshua that we need this proven class.
Oh,
to
gosh,
it.
No, where I'm at with it right now is just my thoughts are all over with it. So I haven't been able to narrow. And I started to do it when I knew I was going to teach last time. But then, like, I don't push it unless I'm really feeling it flow. And if I'm not feeling it flow, then I'll just keep taking notes and keep taking notes until I'm ready to bring it. And,
oh, praise.
And we'll see. So, and then I wound up doing the other class instead, the two-part other class. Zionism, because that was just more
relevant.
It's just more of my spirit at the time. But I started. I'll bring it out. I know people have been asking. And I already got a title for it when I do it.
That's how I was feeling this Monday when I was doing the porn class. Like so much, I couldn't narrow it down. I told the congregation, it's like so sporadic. Look, I can't.
Power nap plus. Someone said power nap plus. I was going to take a nap before the show today. I didn't have time. I was doing too much stuff. Anyway, that's the show. All right. All praise the Most High. Y'all stay safe out there. Okay. Stay in the spirit. Stay strong. All right. And Saturday, Spanish?
Yes, sir.
Saturday on Facebook exclusively, all right, 11 a.m. Arizona time. We have La Hora de Poder, Power Hour en Español. That's 1 hour. The officers teach that, all right, so you can teach in. And if you're watching on classrooms, if you will go over and just type in IUIC Phoenix, click like and subscribe the Phoenix YouTube page. That would help us out quite a bit, all right? Y'all stay in the spirit and stay safe, all right? With that, we say shalom.
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 I'm sorry.
I know. I'm waiting for the music, the outro, everything. Everybody's slow today.
Oh,
what's going on,
goodness.
Man? Come on.
Yeah.
Bro, we...
Damn. This was the Southern Kingdom. Kwame Asharala.
No.
This was the Northern Kingdom. Viva La Raza.
We won,
nation. This was the Southern Kingdom, Kwame Asharala.
We won, nation.
This was the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza. It wouldn't be Israel without Mexicans. Black love, brown pride, cause we Mexican. We ain't gotta tell Esau the lessons, friends, cause we above all nations and we better than them. We the top of the earth, and we been king since birth, We put the kingdom first, And they gon' get this work, Yeah. We was chosen, not because we the most of the people. Few in numbers, but we over the people. We gods of this earth. We ain't supposed to be equal. Stop playing, you emotional people. The good gotta triumph over the evil. So my foot's on the throat of the eagle. Their tongues will confess that we the people. Cause my nation ain't never been feeble. For the southern kingdom, my life shall rise live.
We one nation, one nation. This was the northern kingdom. We brought our side. I can't take one step without my brothers too. My mother's muchachos, yeah, you know that's one for you. Me gusta el rostro un pollo, tacos chilangos. Sipping on cervezas with all mi hermanos. Judei from death to two kingdoms. Now we one nation over DC. The royalty bloodline, we be the choice vine. Better rip in for your run out of time. My father gave me salt in the light, yeah, yeah. Be strong in the Lord and his might, yeah, yeah. Better be careful of fire.